out. You gotta put it in
perspective. This, right now, this is your first real test. Stay calm. Remember your training.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
He will never, ever give up. And most importantly, he will never, ever let you down.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you.
How about that whole deal?
I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I'm a human, and I'm coming.
I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative.
I get it.
Makes me sick just looking at all three of you. Sick to my stomach.
And now.
Anyway, I'm really, really, really tired.
Our feature presentation.
I wish that guy could get some sleep.
Poor.
Well, sounds like he needs it.
It's so noisy in his neighborhood, and he's right. Got all the potholes in the street to even get home. So.
And he's got that three-hour work week.
Yeah, it's tough. Oh, it's tough out here for Rodney.
Thinking about it.
How do you do it? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Wednesday, July 20th.
Allie was very disappointed with how little excitement there was at the convention last night. I kept tuning in, and it was like, eh.
But what about that lady that sold avocados?
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
She was an actress, but she talked about being an avocado farmer as well.
Oh,
it's like, I can't. I don't know what.
You need to go back and watch that then, Bean.
Yeah. And you didn't watch Ben Carson. I mean, he pumped the crowd up.
Like he does?
Yeah.
Sure, he's a hype man.
Yeah. He doesn't even need a hype man. That's how hype he is.
It's he and Flava Flav. Pretty much the same.
I wanted to see Dr. Carson because it's amazing to me that he's ever spoken in public before every time you see him.
Yeah.
But how was he? Did he burn that mother down?
Wow.
Like he does.
He's just...
Dynamic.
Dynamic. Yes. Dynamic.
All right. Well, I taped the whole thing, so maybe I'll go back and catch Dr. Carson. But I didn't even hear any highlights out of it. I didn't hear anyone... He didn't make any news, I guess.
I thought you were going to watch the whole thing.
You know, you go back and forth and you tape it and then you hear something happen and you go look at that. I mean, the only highlight for me yesterday was the great state of Nevada talking about their capital, Las Vegas. That was funny. Because it's not the capital.
It's not the capital. Nevada.
You'd think the guy, you know, there at the convention hall speaking
the
for the state.
The actual delegate said that?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Oh.
Yeah, he did. But other than that, it was fairly uneventful. I hate to be on Team Kevin on this one, but I think it was kind of boring last night. The Trump kids, don't care about them.
Yeah.
None of them have any chins.
What?
None of them have any chins.
How many Trump kids are there? It seems like there's like four a night.
Four?
Five?
That talk.
Are there five
four
total?
Or five? I think two boys, Ivanka and then Tiffany. So four? Yeah, four.
Okay.
Why do I know their
names? Why do you know their names?
Because they're the first family, Allie.
Okay, you're right.
Speaking of why don't I know this, I want to tell you about a young man named Davis Wallman. He lives in Seattle, and he came home on Monday night, and he noticed a couple of lights on in his house that would usually be off.
Ghosts.
Or murder, I would imagine, one of the two, right?
Yep.
Or rat.
He said he didn't immediately, doesn't mention whether he checked his toilet for rats. He said he didn't immediately freak out, but he thought, this is not ordinary. Then once he got inside his house, he found a screen from a bathroom window inside his tub.
And he heard,
"You are all going to die tonight."
And still, there were no red flags raised.
Come on.
Oh, what?
That's weird.
That's strange. There must be a rational explanation for this.
Maybe he just thought it popped out of the windowsill or something. But anyway, he didn't think much about it. Everything looked normal. Didn't look like anything was disturbed in his house. So he went to bed. Well, the next morning, he heard strange noises up in the attic. And he kind of jolted out of bed, he said. He heard rummaging above him. So he knew that was the attic, and he thought, well, this is weird.
And he was like, oh, you know what? That's rummaging. Okay.
I'm going to go back to bed.
It's cool.
So he knocked on the door. He went upstairs and knocked on the door, and then he heard a woman's voice from the other side of the door in his home. Jimmy? Is that you, Jimmy?
Oh, God. Is he Jimmy? What's his
name?
That's
his name?
His name is Davis Wallman.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, no, it's not Jimmy. Who is this, and why are you in my house? So he immediately, while he's waiting for a response, calls 911, and then a woman, unknown to him, a complete stranger, opens the attic door and comes face to face with him. And he says, "Who the heck are you, and why are you in my house?"
And she says, "Who are you, and what have you done with Jimmy?"
Close, Kevin. She really? Says, "This is my house. Oh. I live here. I've been here for 3 days. Jimmy said I could live here. Jimmy said I could stay here. 3 days she had been living in the man's attic. And I guess it has to be an Anne Frank situation. Look it up, where he must have come home. You know, during the day she could do whatever she wanted because he's not home. But then at night she was probably just super quiet up in the attic for the most part, I would think.
Right? Is that what we call an Anne Frank situation?
Yeah, I think we're missing a lot of the Anne Frank story.
No. I just mean where you have to be super quiet so the people below you don't know you're living in their house.
Right,
that's
but she didn't seem to care because she had permission from Jimmy.
From Jimmy, right. Wallman tried to keep the woman inside the house until police arrived, but she got away. He's very frustrated, by the way. It took 18 minutes for an officer to arrive after he called 911. He was very disappointed. He says, "A big supporter of the police, but it shouldn't take 18 minutes when you call the police and tell them that you got an intruder in your house. They should be there a little faster."
Was she hot?
It doesn't
that's
say.
Really not.
Is that not important?
I don't think it's imperative.
It is the point, by the way.
No, it really is. No.
It's not for girls. Not for guys either. You're right, Allie.
But if it, I mean, honestly, if Kate Upton is living in your attic,
right,
you allow it.
I mean, another day's not going to hurt.
Right, exactly.
You'd be like, "What else did Jimmy tell you?"
Wallman is puzzled as to how the woman got into the home. Well, I would think that the screen door might have been a hint.
I feel like there's a lot of clues.
This guy's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Nothing appeared stolen. He said, "It was just weird, you know," was his quote. The woman living in the attic had dark shoulder-length hair, wore gym warm-up pants and a black track-style jacket and a white hood. She also had a white knit cap and carried a backpack. So she is in the wind. So we don't know where she is or what the story was or who Jimmy is or whether she's coming back. Way too many questions at the end of this story.
But really, that's best case scenario for somebody breaking in and living in your house, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This guy needs to be a bit more on top of this.
I think he does.
Maybe notice his surroundings a little bit. 3 days.
Keep his eyes open. Yeah, you're right, though, Kevin, because this could have very easily been a home invasion robbery,
right,
where he's, you know, tied up and beaten and everything he owns is stolen. And then he's gone. You know, the guy's gone.
Plus murder.
That's There's always a possibility of murder.
And Jimmy.
Where's Jimmy? Where
is Jimmy? Do you think there is a Jimmy or she's just Looney Tunes?
No, I don't think
so. He's hanging out with Anne Frank.
Oh, Jimmy and Anne Frank.
That's right. They were best friends.
But if this happened to you, Kevin, the rest of your life, you would be trying to figure out who Jimmy was.
Yeah, I probably
would.
Why
he allowed her to live in your house.
I probably would. Although I assume when he was looking in her eyes, he saw a little crazy.
It's very possible.
So maybe he just dismissed Jimmy.
I'll keep you.
Plus, he's not observant.
I'll keep you posted if there's anything new on that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I want to tell you something, and it's the most important thing you'll ever hear in your entire life. So don't not hear it. Shut it.
Hey.
Russia might not be allowed to go to the Olympics, so Russia might hold their own Olympics.
Oh, going rogue.
Going rogue. Having their own Olympics where they compete against just each other.
Huh.
Okay.
Doesn't seem great.
It's the same panache.
What's up with Florida on the show today?
What is up with Florida?
Oof.
We'll find out. Plus, Noodles from The Offspring will be on the show.
Noodles.
Talking about playing a show. Very excited about that. We have your tickets for 21 Pilots along with a meet and greet today on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about Leslie Jones and that whole Twitter thing.
How
about that whole thing, huh? That was craziness. And Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo.
Wow.
Kevin, you hate accomplished people.
No, I don't.
You say they make you look bad.
Accomplished kids and people who may be 22 and have done more than all of us combined. Mm-hmm. Overachievers.
You're okay with Viggo, though, and the seven languages he speaks, and the poetry, and the painting, and
the
acting, and
the
music. Okay.
Plus, he's so ugly. He's not a threat.
And he's ugly.
Yeah.
So you'll allow it.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So he'll be in the studio today as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Let me shoot a crazy sky. Let me shoot across the sky. don't feel like that's
needed.
I think Coldplay has that covered.
Just trying to help.
Yeah.
Is that the Coldplay and Beyonce song? Is that what that is?
That is Him for the Weekend.
Like that. Keep listening to K-Rock every hour for your chance to win tickets to see that band right there at the Rose Bowl playing in August and qualify for a private Coldplay performance at a beach house in Cape Cod. How are the beaches in Cape Cod, Allie?
Beautiful.
Wicked beautiful, bro.
Oh, no.
Good spot?
Oh, dear. Yeah, Cape Cod is gorgeous.
Get all the details at K-Rock.com.
The whole South Shore, really. It's wicked nice.
Your chance to win coming up next hour. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Jason Bourne. He's a man. The man who can shoot you dead.
Is that the Jason Bourne theme?
It's not at all.
It
no.
Believe be.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Bourne is back. That's right. Matt Damon returns to clean up the mess.
I love this series so much.
They're all good. Every one of those movies. Even the Jeremy Renner one I liked. It wasn't Matt Damon good, but it was good.
Let's say Matt Damon is a 10. That was a 7.
Three.
Anyway, Jason Bourne returns. He remembers everything now. Oh, they're in trouble.
It's on.
Because he remembers, and when he remembers stuff, people die. Yeah. I think that's on the poster. Tommy Lee Jones, Alicia Vikander. Great cast. It's all happening in theaters on July the 29th, but let's say you don't want to wait till July 29th. Maybe you're right now yelling at your radio, July 29th? What are you, insane? Well, I'm here to fix that for you. How about July 26th? How about we bump you up a couple days? At the special K-Rock advanced screening of Jason Bourne at the Pacific Grove Theater. Why don't you call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five folks through at that phone number, we'll get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Jason Bourne.
Nope.
He was born to make people dead. I'm available, by the way, if you want to.
For theme song work?
Book me, Bourne producers. JasonBourneMovie.com, by the way, is the website if you want to check it out. Sometimes death hits you harder than other times. This one was particularly saddening to me because this guy was the author of some of my favorite childhood television moments and some of my favorite films. Gary Marshall has passed away at the age of 81. He was a genius. I mean, doesn't get a lot of attention because he worked primarily in television, especially in the 70s at a time where TV was considered pretty much schlock. But when you look at his overall career, remarkable body of work. Not only as an actor, which is how he started, but then as a writer. I mean, by the time he was working in the television in the 70s, when he was creating shows, he had already written for the Dick Van Dyke Show and the Joey Bishop Show, Danny Thomas, the Lucy Show, the Tonight Show. I mean, he had a remarkable body of work as a writer. And then he brought The Odd Couple, which was a very popular Broadway play and movie, to television in the early 70s. And that pretty much set him off on a course where he would pretty much dominate television for the better part of that decade. Created a little series called Happy Days. Had a pretty good run with that. And its spin-offs, Laverne and Shirley and Mork and Mindy. And then he went into film, giving us movies like Pretty Woman and Runaway Bride and The Princess Diaries. A remarkable body of work. But everyone says that his talent was only matched by the size of his heart and his kindness to those he worked with and for his family and for charity events. Just an all-around great guy. He has passed away at the age of 81, so
very sad.
Sad news, because everybody who knew him loved him. And just one of those guys who everything he said was also funny. If you ever listened to him in an interview or you saw him talking about his life, just one of those funny people that always had a lot of heart in his work as well. So.
And co-star of one of the greatest movie scenes of all time from Lost in America.
Yeah.
You remember that scene, Kevin, where Albert Brooks goes in and tries to talk to the casino and to give him the money back,
yes,
and he's
absolutely
lost? Absolutely. That's against Gary Marshall, who's brilliant at it.
It's not against him. I mean, no one's against him. We're all
I'm
right?
No. I'm saying that those two were playing against each other in the scene. But, yeah, he was a real talent.
I like Wayne Newton. Does that make me a schmuck? I was wrong to use an entertainer as a dividing point. No, I heard you. You definitely said Wayne Newton likes schmuck. You just give us our money back. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart. I like you. You make me laugh, but I have to go now. Pokemon is bad, right? We're all on board with that.
I'm not.
That should
it's
be
not
stopped.
For me, but
people who play should be put down, is what we're saying.
I'm turning
that for
the corner.
A while, right?
I love all the people that are getting arrested and falling off cliffs.
A military base.
Love it.
In Tacoma, Washington, the Joint Base Lewis-McChord, about 9 miles southwest of Tacoma, have issued a Facebook post there on their military base saying, "Hey, stop it. Do not chase Pokemon into controlled or restricted areas, office buildings, or homes on base, please."
Stop it.
Military personnel. Hey, a little less chasing ISIS, a little less chasing Pokemon, okay? For God's sakes.
The people that go on a military base and then go in houses? Round them up.
I think this is becoming a problem for a lot of business. I saw a story this week that Boeing, the Boeing Corporation, north of Seattle, they had over 100 people playing Pokemon at one time on the clock the other day. And they said, all right, that's it. We got to stop this.
Yeah.
So they got to put a ban on Pokemon Go. I bet a lot of businesses are doing that.
We're not talking about people going on a military base, Kevin, and running around. That would be hard to do because you'd be shot.
I thought that's what you said.
We're talking about people on the military base.
Oh,
people
I see.
People in the military
there. Okay.
Are right. Running around,
okay.
Going through tarmacs,
right.
Past jet fighters,
right.
Looking for Pikachu.
Listen, if you're serving our country, play the goddamn game. Do what you need to do. Have a little joy in your life.
I feel like that's what the military base is saying.
I think the military is saying, stop it. Maybe they know better than you. That's just me. That's my thinking.
I don't
but
know.
What do I know? Because after all, you have that whole murder, false positive thing going. So. Celebrity birthdays! Carlos Santana is 69 years old today. Chris Cornell turns 52. Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam is 50. Josh Holloway. Nope. Josh Holloway. Remember him from Lost, right? Sawyer.
Sure.
Yeah. Being loved, Sawyer.
Loved him.
47 years old today. Sandra, oh my God, is 45 years old today. Omar Epps turns 43. Judy Greer. How much do we love Judy Greer?
All. She's the best.
So much. 41 years old. Giselle Bundchen turns 36 years old. Our buddy Harley Mortenstein from Epic Mealtime. 31 years old, and John Francis Daly, popular actor, was on Freaks and Geeks, and now a very successful screenwriter. He is 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, can I share the thing that Dave just said about the guests that we're talking to next hour?
Sure.
Am I allowed to say that? Okay. We're talking to Noodles from The Offspring. They've got shows coming up in Southern California. Dave tells me that we're going to also have a snippet of a brand new Offspring song to play for you when we get the Noodles on. It's been years since there's been a new Offspring song, right?
Pretty exciting.
This is very exciting. Anyway, that's coming up next hour here on the Kevin DeBee Show. And keep on listening for your chance to win your Coldplay tickets as well.
Allie, you were following this this story as it happened.
Yes,
tell us
real
about
time.
Leslie Jones versus the world.
It seemed like it. Yeah. she tends to get a lot of hate on Twitter, and she responds back to people, which some say is good, some say is bad. It depends on where you fall on that. But then the tide kind of turned a couple days ago, and it became less about, I hate your movie, you're an awful actress, to people sending some of the sickest, most racist, and just disturbing photos, photoshopping actual tweets saying that she said certain things, and then she wasn't quite understanding. She wasn't sure if she got hacked. Oh my God, did someone hack me? I'm not saying these things. She wasn't understanding that people were actually photoshopping fake tweets saying that she was saying horrible racist things as well. So it just kept getting uglier and uglier. Then the mob mentality set in. And people were just attacking from every side. It was very sad to see.
Let me pause you right there just to mention Leslie Jones, for folks who don't know, is a comedian actress on Saturday Night Live, and she is one of the stars of the new Ghostbusters film. And is that how it started with this main guy, this Milo Yiannopoulos, who is against her, that he hated Ghostbusters? Is that where his rage is coming from toward Leslie Jones?
I don't know.
It quickly moved away from Ghostbusters, so I doubt he even saw it. I really just doubt he knew anything about it.
So, I think he saw it and did a review on it.
Oh, okay.
And that's what kind of started what people were responding to her about. But
now when you say mom mentality, is he the guy who tried to fan the flames of this and get people to tweet awful things at Leslie Jones? Or did people just see that it was happening and said, ooh, I want to get in on some of that fun?
I'm sure it was both. I mean, that's what Twitter is. You know, people start seeing, oh, I'll get a reaction. I'll be able to do this. But he was suspended from Twitter. So they feel that he in some way incited a lot of what happened to her.
I saw Leslie Jones afterwards said that she always wondered why a lot of celebrities were not on social media. And now she understands why. She said, because you just try to go out there and do your job, and you think it's an opportunity to be able to interact with your fans. And you find out that there's a very dark side to that. There are a lot of people who are on there not to interact with celebrities, but to do everything they can to make them, to hurt them, right?
Yeah, for a lot of people, I think the end game is getting people to leave Twitter, which is so
really?
Bizarre.
No, I think it's more just getting noticed for yourself, don't you think?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. It's very disturbing, though, how people, and now the whole thing is, well, what about free speech? Well, no, free speech has consequences. That means you're either banned from Twitter, or somebody sees a tweet that you wrote, your boss sees it, your boss fires you. There are consequences to what you say, and a lot of people aren't quite grasping that.
Aren't you surprised that Twitter actually acted in this case? Because hasn't one of the raps against them for a long time been that they are very slow to help those who are being abused online?
I think Twitter was waiting for something to ban this guy, Milo, who went by @Nero. He had been suspended a couple times before they took his verification away. So I think this was their time to go, oh, we're going to do something about it, which is completely disingenuous, to be honest.
Twitter says, free speech is good, but no one deserves to be subjected to targeted abuse online, and talks about sort of what we were just saying, is that he sort of was inciting people to post hateful things to her. And she's a black woman, and there was such offensive stuff being said. And she was sort of trying to keep up with it. You were watching it in real time. She was trying to turn the narrative around or anything else, but it just was impossible.
Yeah, it got really bad at one point. People were just sending pictures of apes, pictures of semen all over her face. Like, just,
oh my God.
Really, just come on. Where does that hatred come from?
That's the question that I don't get, by the way. And look, I know that there's been a conversation in this country since the internet became popular with who are the trolls who go on to incite this sort of behavior. I mean, what's their background? What is their end game? What do they get out of it? Why is it fun?
Yeah.
Look, I'm no stranger to strongly worded letters. I don't mind posting an opinion. But, I mean, there is such thing as constructive and reasonable arguments about things versus the kind of material that's been posted that you're describing. And I don't understand the people who cross that line. It's almost like, and I think this is commonplace a lot of times with celebrities, I think a lot of people don't think about celebrities as real people. They think about them as, you're here for my entertainment, and I'm going to take target practice on you because it's fun, right? I mean, that's what it looks like.
If you're on Twitter, then you deserve this. You're on there for get off Twitter. That's a lot of people's response. Well, get off social media if you have thin skin. But that doesn't stop those people from doing it to the next person. It's just, again, with the end game, it's something I don't get. It seems like this country is so angry about so much, whether you're conservative, whether you're liberal, whether you're man, whether you're a woman, whether you're Asian, black, white. Everybody is so divisive right now.
It's 1,000 times worse on women, I think.
I agree.
Than men.
Yeah.
And telling a woman to get off social media is like telling her to not have a conversation or to not be part of society, because that's where a lot of the world lives right now. So that doesn't make any sense. If we can end this conversation on a positive note, though, what came out of this was the Love for Leslie J hashtag. And that was really great to see how many people, including lots of celebrities, but lots of regular folks, too, who were tweeting love for Leslie Jones. And I think it's easy to only pay attention to the minority of people who are evil and awful. And sometimes you just kind of forget that the vast majority of us wish no ill will toward these people. And I hope that I don't know how much she's still looking at her Twitter. She said she's leaving Twitter is one interpretation of her final tweet. So the account is still active. I hope that she is seeing all of the love that she's getting as well from people all over the world who are standing up and saying, look, you're a nice person. You're a funny person. You didn't deserve this and we've got you. And it's great to see a positive thing come out of this as well, too.
Agreed. What was the hashtag again one more time so people can.
Love for Leslie J. Hashtag love for Leslie J. If you want to tell her how much you like her and you're not those people. Hey, it's almost Olympics time. When do the Olympics actually start, by the way, Kevin? You're Mr. Olympics.
I think it's early August, August 4th, 5th.
Oh, not till then?
I think.
Boy, does NBC do a lot of promotion.
Yes, they've been doing it for 6 months.
Yeah, they have. Well, the Olympics are happening, and the question right now is, will there be a team from Russia? Russia, by the way, one of the biggest countries in the world, certainly a very successful team throughout history, coming from that country. The World Anti-Doping Agency has urged the International Olympic Committee to ban Russia from the Olympics altogether.
So in no sport will they attend.
In no sport.
Wow.
Right. Apparently they are failing tests left and right. The central finding of their report was that hundreds of Russian athletes across 30 sports had tested positive for drugs. And of course, Vladimir Putin is not having any of this. He is already saying that, what's your rush? It's politically motivated. You don't know, man. I think that's an actual
quote. Did he say you don't know, man?
He said you don't know, man. So we wanted to find out more about what's going on in the former Soviet Union. And we asked Dave who we could speak with. And we do have a spokesperson for the Russian Olympic team. He is Venye Volkov. And he joins us on the Kevin DeBeat Show on K-Rock right now. Mr. Volkov, welcome, sir.
Evgeny, please. Evgeny Volkov.
Evgeny, I apologize. I'm not good with my Russian pronunciation, sir.
That's okay, because you're American pig dog.
Well, I don't think we need to start calling names. We're just really having you on.
Well, what else for we for to say? You're saying, oh, don't put Russia in the Olympics because you're scared of us, and so that's why you're in the pig dog.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's America's decision. It's the International Olympic Committee, so it's going to be all the countries are going to vote.
Yes, but the World Doping Agency is very influenced by the U.S. Doping Agency, and that's why they are saying to not have us in the Olympics, because they are scared little lady people.
Okay, but if your teams are all on drugs, doesn't that give you an unfair advantage in competition?
All on drugs. Such big, so much overstate. First of all, if one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl. Okay?
I have heard that.
In the world of the great band, the Osmonds.
Right. I'm surprised you would make a reference to the Osmonds.
Oh, I love the Osmonds here in Russia.
Wow.
Huge artist here. Everybody loves Osmonds.
That's a shocker.
Well, especially Meryl.
Meryl was your favorite of the Osmonds? That's unusual.
Wow, that is unusual.
Most people are a Donnie or a Marie.
I'm Donnie and Marie. I'm all about Meryl.
All right. Surprising pull. What about all the doping positives, though? What's going on? What can you tell us about?
You said one bad apple. It seems
First
like
of all,
everybody.
There are a lot of positives for doping. I will give you that much.
Right.
But it's just a few people. If you've done things now that everyone says, oh, now all Russian athletes must be punished for what a few of them are doing. And we are saying, do not throw out the baby.
What's happening where you are?
With the bathwater.
Okay. What is there a bowling game going on? What's behind you there?
Yes. There's
bowling game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that even an expression?
No, of course not.
Not even in my country. People who don't even speak English at all well never say, is that a bowling game?
What's going on where you are?
People are training for the Olympics.
I see. Okay.
So I'm sorry if it's not all whisper, mousy quiet for you in library. But we have people here living lives can't stop for your radio program.
Okay, but just to clarify.
No bowling game.
It's not a bowling game.
Not a bowling game. Okay, good.
Not a bowling game.
Okay, good. Okay.
All right, so how is this thing going to be resolved? Is there any way you can clean these
up? There's two ways it'll be resolved.
Okay.
Either International Olympic Committee. It does right thing and allows Russia to compete in Olympics. Or we don't need your stupid Olympics. We have Russian Olympics.
And would you just be competing against each other?
Yes, of course, we'll be competing against each other, but anyone who wants to come and compete is also welcome. We're not exclusionary like other peoples are with the, oh, you can't come to my Olympics.
Right.
All will be welcome in the Russian Olympics.
But I think other athletes from other countries are going to want to go to the actual Olympics.
Sure. Who can pass up a Zika virus and dead bodies floating in the river when you're rowing? Who would want to pass up that wonderful experience?
Well, you do make it sound attractive. So do you think there are other athletes from around the world will come to Russia to compete in your Olympics?
Well, they will or they won't. It's not a concern of ours because it will happen. And we'll have amazing Olympic-style games here just for Russians. If it must be the case, then so be it. Hmm. But we'll also, be, of course, in Russian Olympics, be featuring unique Russian Olympic events that you can find anywhere else in the world.
Oh, okay.
Oh, like
what?
Your own stuff.
Like shot put.
Well, they have shot put in the Olympics. That's actual...
But this, you put like 100 shots of vodka. You put a hot shot of vodka down your throat. And then you have a bowling game and see how it comes out.
Sounds I'm in.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Other Russian games we'll be doing, of course, the bread line. That's a good one.
Well, yeah, that's...
How long you can stand in line for bread without passing out.
That doesn't sound as fun.
Endurance is a huge part of that sport.
Sure.
We'll be having the roll toss.
The what?
Roll toss.
Roll toss.
Roll toss.
Where you have to try to actually lift and throw a roll of Russian toilet paper. I don't know if you've ever felt it, but it's like lead. It's like,
oh.
It's like sandpaper and lead mixed together with broken glass.
That is unpleasant.
And it you have to first throw the roll and then use the roll.
Oh, no.
But don't do it the reverse because you'll be bleeding from your anus.
Oh, no.
And, of course, we'll have the Russian sex guest.
The Russian what?
Sex guests.
Sex guests?
Yes.
Okay.
Where we line up a series of Russian women. You have to guess whether they're man or woman. Very difficult. You don't go by the eyebrows, I'm telling you that much, because someone just got one right across the head.
Well, that's a good tip.
We're going to talk to our friend Simon Pegg back on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Scotty. He's Scotty, right, in the
yep.
Star Trek movie? Yeah.
Scotty also, Bones.
Scotty Bones is his nickname.
Jones.
That's a throwback to a mistake somebody made on yesterday's show. I don't remember exactly who it was, but somebody did.
It was you.
He also wrote the new Star Trek movie, so
yes.
It's very exciting to get a chance to talk to him. And the great Viggo Mortensen later on today, who I'm such a huge fan of and have been. And I think this is a good opportunity, Allie, because I know mm-hmm. you also love Viggo.
Mm-hmm.
And his new film, Captain Fantastic, mm-hmm. is out now. And you're going to have a lot of questions for him.
I will.
Yeah, I was going to discuss that as well. Maybe.
Really?
Like, we should talk ahead of time about
right.
how many questions each of us has for the guest.
Because we have
okay.
limited time.
Right.
And I feel like, that you know, when you're excited and uh-huh. you're just kind of bubbling over with questions that you have,
right.
you might ask him like 10 questions in a row before he even has a chance to answer any of them.
I'm thinking of
really?
Yeah, because I'm thinking about Patrick Fugit.
Oh, from Outkast.
Yeah,
right. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
We had him.
Uh-huh.
And you were
I was excited about that show. I had
yes,
a lot
you were.
Of questions.
You had
yeah.
a lot of damn questions.
Well, explain to people that are listening that don't quite know what the show's about. You're basically a kid, a man now, that was possessed by demons as a kid, but not really, but you got one out of your mom, but we're not sure yet. And now you're getting demons out of all random people, but what's this black tar coming out of him? What's the breathing? But he becomes this kind of hermit and sequesters himself
yes.
away from everyone he loves because he's afraid of who he thinks he might be.
You're
the thing
right.
about Kyle, I feel, because I was huge To Kill a Mockingbird fan, he's Boo Radley. He's just this
yeah.
hermity guy, but he has so much good to give.
Let him talk.
And obviously you're trying to help all these people in the town. And why is everyone in the town possessed by a demon? What is happening in that town?
Yeah.
And can you not move? And why don't you ever do your dishes?
I don't know.
So in this show, though, you now know just by touching someone that can seem totally normal if they are possessed just through your touch.
Yeah.
So that's new. But also, with the breathing in, all these
right.
people try and breathe your breath.
Let them talk.
But are they trying to get stronger by taking the souls you've internalized, that you've outcast from other people, but now they're in you? It's the soul. Why are you yeah. laughing?
I'm so serious right now. Take it easy.
But then, once it does kind of go, and it's gotten to the point where, oh, no, it's over. This demon is now out of him. It turns into this black tar, then it looks like birds, and then it just dissipates into the air. Where does it go?
We don't know yet.
But you know. I want to know now. It's like the souls of all the outcast demons intertwined into one big gooey substance.
It's like,
and didn't you get another season before it even premiered? Which is kind of a nice thing.
Come on, Allie.
Allie likes a show. There's stuff she needs to know.
A lot of stuff.
On and on and on she rambles, curious, so curious. There is no escaping now, the guest is getting furious. Allie's questions, when the world turns into ten. So much questions, and it's never gonna end.
Never gonna end.
Tell me all the spoilers now.
She wants all the answers to all the questions.
I feel like we should have him back, though. I don't think I fully asked him everything.
You want to have more questions?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think that's going to happen. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Wednesday morning. It's Ralph Garman time. What's going on?
Sad news. Gary Marshall, one of the legends of television and film, great writer, director, producer, and actor, has passed away at the age of 81. One of the few people in Hollywood for decades that I've never heard anyone say a bad word about. Everyone who worked with him loved him and just an exceptional writer. I mean, there's a lot of snobbery in comedy. People like, you know, smart, funny, and sometimes the outliers can be thought of as, oh, that's the cool comedy. Gary Marshall's stuff was always very accessible, very across the board, but never dumb. And always had tons of heart in it, and I think that's why people responded to it so well. He created, of course, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy. His movies, Pretty Woman, huge success, Runaway Bride, The Princess Diaries. Just a great director and writer and performer, and now he's passed away at the age of 81. So sad. A lot of people sad. Henry Winkler tweeted, "Rest in peace. Thank you for my professional life.
Wow.
Thank you for your loyalty, friendship, and generosity." And, of course, his sister is actress and director Penny Marshall. So, thoughts with their family today. Meanwhile, New York Post is reporting that Bill Cosby's in a sad state.
Oh.
Good.
Come on. It's the Cos. We love that show, right?
Nope.
Well, Theo, you better clean your room.
That's not what I think about
when
I hear
the name. Is there something else going on with him? I'm
Bill Cosby anymore.
It's not what I think of at all.
I thought he was America's dad. I'm
drugging and raping, Ralph, has happened.
I got to catch up on the news.
What? Open up a blog.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
You're a kid, right?
Yeah.
That's me.
They say now he's confined to his Pennsylvania home with only his wife at his side. No friends left. Just a small army of lawyers on his payroll. And reportedly has gone almost completely blind and can barely see a thing. Karma's a bitch, huh? His vision is truly bad. They said the other day he tried to give a girl pills and gave her caffeine by accident, kept her up all night. That is not what he wanted. It's not what he was expecting. Gave her caffeine pills.
The opposite of
trying to get
her
to go.
Right.
Didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of great dudes, Tom Sizemore is in the news again.
Oh.
Who could have seen this coming? This guy has
defined great dudes.
Such a clean record.
Let me guess. Drugs or domestic abuse? It's got to be one of the two.
Well, why can't it be both?
Why can't it be both? Bean, you're selling him short. Indeed, it is both. Arrested on domestic violence charges yesterday morning when neighbors had to be called. Police had to be called by neighbors when they heard a woman screaming. And then the actor's girlfriend said he hit her in the head and face.
Oh.
Yeah, he's
beyond a serial offender. Hasn't he been arrested like 10 times for this?
You know, I love the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. But it is one of the few businesses where you can behave like this over and over again and still find employment. He is a dumpster fire of a human being.
He really is.
And
yet
he invariably will show up in TV and film projects, which is just beyond me. I don't know who's hiring this guy anymore. Yes, I think at one time he was considered a sizable, no pun intended, talent. But there's a lot of talented people out there you can give jobs to over this piece of garbage. So that's sad news. But I've got good news. there's going to be a competition reality show on television.
All right.
Which I think is a nice change of pace.
Finally. Yes.
Great idea.
Why hasn't this happened
before?
It's
going to be called The World of Dance.
The World of Dance.
No. The World of Dance.
Okay. Say it like that.
Right. I'm in.
Say it.
I'm in. The World of Dance.
There we go.
Nice.
I like it.
Come on now.
Jennifer Lopez has created it. It is a dance competition series where people will dance, but they will compete against other dancers.
Will they be stars?
No, Kevin. They're not stars.
All right.
Do they think they can dance? They will audition in various cities around the United States, and then they will compete against each other, and the winner will receive a grand prize.
Will there be a pretty British host?
I don't know about that.
Because this sounds like So You Think You Can Dance.
This sounds like nothing I've ever heard of.
This is The World of Dance.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very different. It's The World of Dance. And what makes it different is they will compete in all genres of dance. Hip-hop, crumping, popping, locking, tapping, balleting, breaking, ballrooming, clogging, stomping.
There will not be clogging.
There will be clogging and
yes,
stomping.
I'm in. Okay.
Because it is The World of Dance.
Right. I don't want that.
Kevin.
I wonder if J-Lo will host. I don't know. She's got such a busy schedule.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine.
Hey, come on.
Come on.
I'm trying to.
Hey, I'm trying.
Hey, you know what? When you're building a house, you don't just throw the roof on top of it.
Come on, man.
The girders, okay?
It's been so long. That was feeling good.
You need a support beam. You got to hang some drywall. You have to put in the plumbing first. You don't just slap the shingles on the roof.
I apologize. They've been premature.
Wow,
and this is why everyone hates you.
Well, it's one of the reasons.
My bad. There's so many. I didn't mean to indicate there was just one.
She sure is busy, though. She's got a lot going on.
Nope, not going back now. You don't this is why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
And you know how we sort of have a policy here on this show that if we hate someone and we would just destroy them as a guest, we usually don't book them because we think it's sort of bad form.
Yeah, it's a jerk move.
Someone coming on your show to promote something, you allow them to do their promotion and you treat them with a certain amount of respect because they are a guest in your home and you make the best of it.
If it happens naturally, what are you going to do? But right, you don't have money to sabotage.
Sometimes things go south.
Just to jump on,
but you don't set people up.
If none of us like that guest, they're not invited.
That's why Jenny McCarthy's garbage.
She's
a garbage person. I hate her ass. Face.
Well, what does she do?
She sets people up. Like, for example, she had Tara Reid on the other day. Who, don't get me wrong, she's a bit of a mess, right? But she seems like a nice enough girl. We've talked to her several times.
Sure.
The Sharknado things and stuff like that. Jenny McCarthy had her on supposedly to promote Sharknado 4th, The Force Awakens. And all she was talking about was marriage boot camp, which was an embarrassing situation for Tara Reid and her husband, and her multiple plastic surgeries, and just basically trying to embarrass her
on her radio show.
And she's just an awful person. And Tara Reid finally had enough of it. And so there is just this passive-aggressive catfight that goes on at the end of this interview, which, although I don't respect Jenny McCarthy at all, I found it wildly entertaining. So here's a little taste of the end of the Tara Reid-Jenny McCarthy interview.
So you look great now. So you're good and done not moving forward with plastic surgery.
I think I've made that clear like about 100 times. I know.
I didn't hear that 100 times. I'm so sorry.
Maybe this you only read the bad things, but I've been made that really clear so many years. But
so does it
read what you want to read. But I think, it was really nice talking to you, and really good luck with your show. And
good luck to you, too. And I'm so excited about Sharknado, and I hope you stay married. And I hope
you stay married, too. Sure, nice
I will, and I hope your knees get a little wobblier than they already are. So
I think my knees? Oh, yeah, I hope your get even nicer. They're amazing. Same guys
as
mine, right?
Thank you.
Same
yes.
Guy. Fantastic.
Yes, same guy.
I'll always use your advice. You're the best. Bye.
Love you, Tara. Good luck with Sharknado 18.
That got ugly quick.
She's such a bitch.
Wow.
And I think she meant knobby, by the way, not wobbly.
I'm not positive.
And by the way, trust me, Jenny McCarthy will be begging for a role in Sharknado 18 when that rolls around. Who hires her to talk. Who hires
Jenny
McCarthy?
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know she had a show.
She's on a Sirius XM. She has a talk show. But you, Jenny McCarthy is sound down.
Correct.
Tara Reid, I just wish, had said on her way out her parting shot, hey, good luck denying science. You should have hit her with that on the way out. Today's celebrity birthday is Carlos Santana is 69 years old today. Chris Cornell turns 52. Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam is 50. Josh Holloway is 47. Sandra Oh is 45 years old. Omar Epps turns 43. Judy Greer, our favorite, is 41 years old. Giselle Bundchen is 36. Harley Mortenstein from Epic Mealtime is 31, as is actor-screenwriter John Francis Daly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show's beat.
Greg Schmitz from Garden Grove, by the way, our latest winner of
Everybody Schmitz, right? I've read that book.
Yes. He's going to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl on August 20th or 21st and is qualified for a private Coldplay performance to see them in Cape Cod at a beach house. Your chance to win is coming up in minutes. We are told that we may or may not be speaking with the great Simon Pegg here in the next few minutes.
I've given it all I can, Captain. I don't know if I'll be on the radio or not.
So if we can, we will. But in the meantime, Bean is starting to pull the cord on the best idea that he's ever had.
Yeah, what a surprise.
And this is not cool.
What a shock. I'm stunned.
Why do you say it like that, Ralph?
We're so excited about this.
Because you are not a guy who does things. You're a guy who talks about things. You're a guy who reads about things and searches for things on the internet, but you're not really a doer.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
I don't think you do. You're the guy that says, that movie looks awesome. I can't wait to see that movie. Well, when are you going to see it? Oh, I wouldn't go to a theater to watch a movie. So I didn't really think you were going to hop in an RV and drive across the nation.
Look, you can accuse me of not being guy who does things guy, but am I moving from New Orleans to New Orleans from Seattle? That's an actual thing.
Yes,
that I'm
you are. Yes. And your plan, which is a great plan, is to drive an RV with your dogs.
I have some concerns.
That is a 10.
About driving the RV.
No.
Look.
No.
I have zero experience.
Right.
I told you this last week.
That's part of the joy.
I have zero experience driving a high-profile vehicle.
Right.
And I'm a little bit concerned about being out on the road for over 2,000 miles
and you'll be
getting
good.
There safely.
You'll be good.
Yeah, where was this concern earlier in the process when you decided to get an RV and drive it across the country? Where were your RV feelings at that point?
The concern was always there, but I settled on the RV because I thought it was the option that made the most sense
right,
for
me. Right, and it still is. Don't try and change plans now. You're a guy that hates change, Bean. You have the RV plan. Let's stick with it and follow through.
Can I share a message that you sent to me?
Yes, please.
Which made me laugh so hard. A couple days ago, he said, catching up on Marin, watching him in the RV. I think it's a bad decision, Ellie.
Figures that television would somehow encroach upon Bean's reality and change his world.
Bean, that's a TV show. That's fiction.
No, right. But that's where everything is on television.
Dear.
But I started thinking about it because Marin is going north in an RV and he runs out of gas in the middle of the night in pitch black darkness. And I'm thinking, you know what? Pretty easy to run out of gas in a vehicle that gets 7 to 10 miles per gallon.
I won't go on a cruise because I saw the Poseidon Adventure and those things turn upside down on New Year's Eve and then you got to find your way to the boiler room.
Right.
So I'm never going to go on a cruise liner.
There's fiction and there's reality. Being a reality is an RV trip is going to be great.
Okay. Let me ask you this, and this is a serious question. Is the reason, Kevin, you are pushing so hard for the RV trip?
For your original plan.
Because you want bad things to happen to me.
No.
I'm serious.
Kevin, you want this for the comedy. Come on.
And the comedy is I get into an accident or I end up in a ditch or I turn the thing over or I get attacked. I mean, you're hoping for bad things on the road.
Attacked?
Yeah,
I don't know that I want you to be aggressive, attacked, but all the others
I'm Indians.
Pirates.
I do have to drive through Wyoming.
Who's going to attack you?
Dun, 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 dun. He's got arrows sticking out of his RV.
Right
who's
next to him on the
you?
Horse.
It's not Mad Max. You're just driving a thing.
You said it's the best way to move your dogs across the country, and I agree.
What is
it? Well, explain that, Bean, because people listening are like, just fly. Why won't you fly with your dogs?
Oh, no.
Look, I would fly with my dogs, but I have a breed of several that are banned from most commercial airlines. They won't fly dogs, especially in the summer, that have the short noses because they have breathing difficulties and they've had bad experiences with dogs dying in the air. So they just say, no, our policy is any major airline will tell you we won't fly bulldogs. They just don't. So I thought the way to get them there is to drive, which I thought made sense.
Yes, and it does.
And I think being in a car or even in an SUV would just be too confined, too tight a space.
Okay. RV.
But why are you so into the RV?
Hold on. What are you going to – you're going to have a dog run in this RV? How confined a space is it going to be if you just drive dogs? Dogs driving cars all the time.
He said yes immediately, by the way.
Yes, for short distances, dogs driving cars all the time. But you can't sit – you can't have your dog just sit in the back seat of a car for 8 hours.
Right, because you have greyhounds that are used to just running expansive distances. You got a fat freaking bulldog that's going to sit on his ass anywhere, wherever he is.
They need a little room to move around.
Well, you pull
play.
Over every 6 hours and you walk them.
Well, right, I'm going to do that. Of course, I'm going to do that.
Okay, so plan made.
I don't think that's enough. I feel like for their company. And by the way, today's their birthday, Ralph.
Wow,
they're eight today.
I got them a present. It's right here.
Oh, well,
take your hand away from there.
Stop touching that.
You're a little doggy basket. With a chew toy. Chew on this on their birthday.
I am concerned about the turning radius. The radius. I've never driven a vehicle that large.
You'll get used to it.
Of course not. You're not good. You wouldn't be good at this. But this is not a surprise. How did you get to this part in the process without realizing this is a horrible idea for you?
So your angle is not surprised that I'm pulling out of the RV ID. It's that I ever signed off on the RV ID, right?
It's ridiculous. You're the last person in the world should drive an RV.
Ralph, you're not helping.
Well, it's insane.
Of course.
He's not a doer. He's
agreed.
Not kind of like he's not great adventure man. He's like, "I'm going to get an RV and drive across the country." I might read a small pamphlet about RVs.
These are all the same reasons I want him to do it.
Now, you're hoping for Anchorman 2. You want to see bowling balls and scorpions flying and stuff going through the air.
I do.
But it's not going to happen.
I'm
furious that we're even wasting time talking about
it. Come on. You can Facebook Live it.
This is I'm going to meet Taylor Swift. This is my date with Scarlett Johansson.
No. He has to get his dogs to New Orleans. Right. That's a thing that has to happen.
A given.
And he'll drive them in a car like a person.
It'll
be once again another non-story that got started by Beans Mania.
See, Bean, so just for the trustworthiness of your good name, you need to stick with a plan.
That's what you're saying.
I don't know.
I'm just
grabbing at anything I can find.
I will keep you guys posted.
Please don't. Just let it die.
I'm receiving word that we take a quick break now and we come back and we do have Simon Pegg on the other side.
RV! RV!
Let's let Simon decide, shall we?
Okay.
Okay. Allie, you know, it's going to be Vigo time later today.
Oh, I know.
I'm very intimidated by Vigo Mortensen. You know, Kevin, you and I have had this discussion before. There are some people that are just too smart for us to have a conversation with.
Oh, everyone for me.
I mentioned
not as many for you.
He is smart. He's charming. He's, from all accounts, genuinely kind.
Yeah.
Talented. It's too much.
It is too much. And I mentioned I promoted on social media yesterday that Viggo Mortensen, the great from Lord of the Rings and so many other History of Violence and Eastern Promises and Witness, so many great movies. I mentioned he was going to be in our studio this morning at night. And the overwhelming message I got back from Kevin and Bean listeners, people you think who would like the show, is he is too good for you.
Well, they're right.
Well, that's a given.
He should not be slumming on the Kevin and Bean show.
Correct.
So Vigo coming up. We'll also catch up with the Offspring. Noodles, guitarist for the Offspring, coming up in about 10 minutes. All right, Dave, this is last chance, do or die, for Mr. Simon Pegg. Yay or nay, please.
Give me 10 seconds.
They've been telling us this for an hour.
We've never had more question marks about whether we were going to speak with a guest or not.
I'd like to answer that question and say it's time for What's Up with Florida. Who's with me?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Florida is the Sunshine State. It's America's penis, and it always makes the news and makes us laugh with all the crazy things that go on there. This is from a town called Mary Esther. That is the name of the city, Mary Esther.
Okay.
A 28-year-old woman was taken to the hospital for evaluation after she drove her car into a neighborhood house on Thursday morning. The woman told Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office deputies that she was doing what, Kevin, while she was driving, and that's why she ran into a house.
Masturbating?
Oh.
All right, that's a fantastic guess, and this is Florida, so yes. Why not? Alan McKay, your guess, please.
Her taxes.
She was praying at the time and had her eyes closed.
What?
That is why she ran into a house. The Fort Walton Beach woman was traveling eastbound on Marcia Drive. She failed to stop at a stop sign, went through an intersection and into the yard on a home. She tried to back out to get away but got stuck in the sand. She was cited for reckless driving with property damage. No one in the house was injured. All right, now what? Now Simon Pegg's on the phone.
Yes.
Now what?
And maybe he has a Florida story.
I want to hear more Florida.
We're doing a thing, but we got the great Scotty himself. We got to talk to Simon. Simon!
I didn't think I was getting on there. There were phone issues. I was running around my hotel room like Scotty trying to boost the power to the phone. I couldn't even do it, Captain.
What was happening? We kept getting told 10 seconds. Stall for 10 seconds. Stall for 10 seconds.
There was all sorts of... I am in your city. I'm a freeway away, but the truth is I got in. I was at the White House yesterday.
Yeah.
Got in. At midnight, and I have to go to bed.
Okay. We are dying to hear about this because, just so you know, we had Carl on, Carl Urban from the Star Trek Beyond movie. We had him on yesterday from the plane, and he told me you guys were on your way to the White House and that the Obamas had requested a Star Trek Beyond screening, which was, I guess, going to be a charity event for veterans. And I just couldn't get my head around the fact that you guys got to go. Please tell us how it was.
That was you on the – we were trying to – oh, man, we were making Carl's life miserable when he was talking.
Oh, yes, we were. There was so much noise, we couldn't hear him.
Carl was just doing his usual suave stuff, like talking. We thought – we didn't realize – we knew it was you guys.
You're a son of a bitch, Peg.
He told us it was mostly Pine, though. He said it was – Pine was going out of his way to be as loud as possible.
It was. Pine was having a complete sort of meltdown, and I was just laughing.
All right, tell us about the White House.
Yeah, what happens when you go?
We were on our way. We went. We got dropped off. We walked up to a gate. There's a big process to get in. You know, you have to. And they have to make sure. Myself and a colleague of mine from the UK had to wait because they mixed our birthdays up on the on our sort of application to get in.
That's probably safest.
It felt like I thought, what is this, Brexit? Are we not being allowed in? Racism. And then we went in through the thing, we saw the stone archway inside the White House where the British had tried to burn the place down back in the day, and there were scorch marks on it. And I was just thinking, this is some sort of passive aggressive revenge.
Wow. Yeah, that was
it's got real personal.
I know. I love everybody. I didn't want to burn down anything.
So you're telling me they haven't repaired that since the War of 1812? It still looks burnt?
Actually, they took down the Rory, who was taking us around, told us they'd taken down something and the marks were still there. I mean, this place is... It's awesome to be inside. The history, the sheer weight of this center of power is amazing. And we walked through, and we met a whole bunch of people, and Michelle Obama has a charity called Joining Forces for veterans, and we screened the movie for those guys. We met Michelle. She was just like... Chris and Carl and I were just giddy like kids. She was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of lovely. She's really friendly. She hugs. She's not... There's no sort of... You know, that kind of formality when you meet authority where you all have to do certain things.
Yeah, she's not the queen.
She just breezed through it and was great. And she made this incredible speech to the forces, guys and girls and families. And man, it was incredible. And then
did she make you work out?
No, we did a lot of, we did a lot of jumping up and down anyway, just because we were a bit excited.
Now, was,
on Michelle's command.
Was President Bartlett there also?
That's the West Wing, Dean.
I saw Rob Lowe. I saw Bill Pullman. I saw Harrison Ford getting on the plane.
Wow, they were all there.
Wow.
All the presidents.
This is our friend Simon Pegg on the phone, of course. He is a co-writer and actor of Star Trek Beyond, which is in theaters everywhere Friday, the much-anticipated, long-awaited new Star Trek movie. Now, did you – forgive me, Simon, for not knowing this. I should have done more research. Were you involved in writing in the previous movies as well?
I was not. I was, you know, I was just a lowly actor.
Wow! So this is quite a bump up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guys on, I mean, J.J. Abrams has always been very collaborative, and he's always happy for you to bring stuff. As a Brit playing Scotty, I was able to infuse the character that with a bit of authenticity here and there. But in terms of actually, you know, determining the plot and what have you, no. And so this was, yeah, it was a change of pace for sure.
But I mean, as a kid who grew up as a Star Trek fan and who didn't, you're now the man responsible for putting the words in Captain Kirk's mouth. That is a heavy responsibility.
It's a responsibility to put anything in Captain Kirk's mouth. it's been a rocky road, to be honest. It was, we didn't have much time to do it because the scheduling was quite tight. So at times it was very, very stressful, and I had many a tantrum and said, I can't do this, I'm walking away. And I'd get a lovely email from JJ just saying, take a breath, calm down, it's going to be fine. And sure enough, you know, we're here, and there's a big old 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is making us very happy at the moment.
Was it your idea to destroy the ship?
No, it was Justin's.
It was?
Justin Lin, our director, who came away from making, you know, the Fast and the Furious a billion-dollar prospect for Universal. And I think some people were worried that, oh, he's just going to do action, and he's not. Justin's got a lot of heart. I think that's what made those Fast and Furious movies suddenly start singing, because he gave them a bit of humanity as well as all the action. But it was Justin. He wanted to destroy the Enterprise, and I was a little annoyed. we had Raz on the phone. I was in London shouting down the phone, going, you can't do that, my ship. You can't destroy the Enterprise. It's been done before. And I started to realize as we talked about it that he had this brilliant plan about what it would mean, you know, in terms of the story, to take away the thing that bonds the crew together, you know, to see what happens to them after that. And it was almost like taking out a character. And the more he talked about it, the more I realized he wasn't doing it just for, you know, just for sort of auto damage. It was a genuinely dramatic thing. And in the film, it's just heartbreaking and done so viciously. It was kind of showing up that the Enterprise is a bit weird looking and kind of easy to attack as well. It's got these long poles and sticks on the end of it and a big saucer. It's kind of, you know, we're showing its weaknesses.
Well, the movie, I know you got to go, Simon. The movie looks so great, and we have heard such raves about it, as you mentioned, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes for starters. But we just can't wait to go see it this Friday. And we're so honored to have known you, to have been talking to you since, you know, early on in your career with movies here in America. And I just think about you being in Star Wars and being in Star Trek and being in Mission Impossible. It's just, it's incredible what's happened for you, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, Simon. We love you, and we thank you for being on.
Thanks for being with me along the way. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. Talk to you soon, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay.
We are taking care of you with more tickets to go see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl. You can win on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We also have a meet and greet with 21 Pilots. We'll get you in on that next hour. And our friends The Offspring are back in town. They are playing a show. They are playing a show tonight at the Pacific Amphitheater at the OC Fair. And they also have a gig this Friday night at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium. Our old friend The Noodles is on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Noodles.
Hey, The Noodles.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Allie. Hey, Tip. How's it going?
Hey, The Noodles.
Hey, The Noodles.
The Noodles. There's a lot of noodles in the world, but I'm The Noodles.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Well, how are you, young man? It's great to talk to you again.
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, you know, we're excited. Hometown shows are always, you know, just a lot of fun, a lot of energy, so we're real excited about it today.
I understand you have been playing a bunch overseas lately. You did a lot of Europe already this summer?
Yeah, we just got back about a week ago, and had a great time. We were over there for 5 weeks doing a bunch of different shows, some headlining shows, and then a bunch of festivals, and just incredible, really, really good tour.
When you travel in Europe, you're at the point where you get to do it comfortably. It is not the hassle that it would be for us to drive around all those cities, right?
Probably.
You well, each take a private plane, right?
I've seen Bean's motorhome that he's going to travel across.
Right?
I have traveled that way on tour. I've driven myself as well, you know, not in Europe, but in the States.
And the RV was the best time ever, right?
It was really fun,
there
actually,
you go.
You know, a lot of work, but it was really fun.
What do you mean by a lot of work?
He means it was fun.
You mean it's physically... I'm serious, Noodles. You've got
experience.
Is it physically difficult to drive? Are you always, like, fighting against the wind or something?
That was my experience, yes. The big boxy thing did not handle the winds very well.
I saw the forecast, though. There's no wind.
No winds, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be completely calm.
Noodles, would you be interested in driving from Seattle to New Orleans as Bean's driver?
I would actually be very interested in that. I think that would be a
that would be the best case ever. Come on.
Okay. I see what you guys are doing here. So you got the shows this week, and then Dave, our producer, steps in this morning and says, got a big surprise for you guys. We have a piece of brand new Offspring music. We do have a clip here, Noodles. Why don't you set it up?
Yeah, well, Dexter and I are big fans of the whole Sharknado enterprise, you know, and we just think it's the most hilarious thing ever, all the Sharknados.
Same.
And we wanted to be in it somehow. I mean, I saw, you know, all the cameos they had. They had, like, Anthony Weiner in it, right? Congressman. Disgraced Congressman Anthony Weiner. And I thought, man, if they could have him, we could be in it. They won't let us in it, but we thought maybe we'll do a song for him. So what we did is we reworked the Dickies version of Gigantor theme song, the old cartoon theme song. We, you know, reworked that and changed it to Sharknado.
And Sharknado comes out July 31st. It's called Sharknado the Fourth Awakens.
Yeah. Sure, I'm sure it is.
And here's the Offspring music. That's fun, Noodles.
Thanks. Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing it. We didn't give it too much thought, really. It just kind of happened.
You gave it as much thought as Sharknado deserves.
I think Sharknado deserves a lot of thought. You know, but yeah, the song. You know, I'm a huge Dickies fan, and I just hope they don't hate us for what we've done to their work. You know, I trust that they won't hate us too bad.
Yeah, I think they're going to accept it in the spirit of which it was intended. Let me ask you this somewhat serious question, Noodles, if you don't mind. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and that is, there are bands like yours who are working on new music. And at some point, you have to figure out if it's worth releasing new music because you're going to lose money on recording it. Do you guys have that conversation about the state of the record industry and what's in it for you to put out an album? The days of you selling 15 million copies of a record are kind of gone.
Yeah, no, we've never had that conversation, per se. I mean,
well, maybe you should.
Because it costs money to make a record.
That's no way to run a business.
Averaging money these days. I don't know. You know, we have our own studio. It's not like we, you know, we spend a lot doing it. You know, we try to do it. You know, we have our own stuff. And with the digital technology that you have today, you can make a really good-sounding record for a lot, you know, a lot cheaper than you could back in the day.
Do you have a record company anymore?
We're not connected to one right now.
Oh, no. Yeah. So if you do it all yourself, you got the Radiohead model. I guess there's still a way to make some money off of it then.
Yeah, you know, for us, we just love doing it. You know, we've been real fortunate. We've had a lot of success before, you know, and we've done well for ourselves. I mean, we're, you know, some knuckleheads from Orange County started a punk band, right? You know?
Right.
We've done really well for ourselves. You know, we just want to stay relevant. We still just want to make music and express ourselves and share that with our fans. It's really what we love to do. You know?
You guys sure didn't expect if someone had come up to you when the band started and said, you know, 30 years from now, you guys are still going to be going strong. I mean, I guess you would have just looked at that as a blessing, but who could have ever predicted it, right?
Yeah, we would have just laughed if they
right.
would have said that. Yeah, oh yeah, and, you know, punk rock band, you're going to sell millions of records. Sure, right. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
What is the status of the new material? I hear you have been working on stuff.
We have. One of the things is the Sharknado song. That's, you know, that was kind of a side trip. We, you know, we've got a bunch of songs that we were thinking of for the record, and we were, you know, while we were in the studio, we're like, oh, hey, what if we did this?
Are you going to put the Sharknado song on the record, I hope?
Probably not. Well, maybe.
Oh, come on, Noodles.
Come on, Noodles.
It's going to get out there. I mean, we want, you know, we definitely want to put it out there for our fans. First of all, I just want to give props to the Dickies. I just went and saw them Saturday night. And they're better than they ever have been. And they play Gigantor, and it's just amazing.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, give props to them. So, but I don't know what we'll do with the song. You know, it's actually not their song. We had to buy the rights to the song, and it's I don't know who owns it. But we had to buy rights to the song, and then we're getting far less for being in the actual TV show. This is how much we love Sharknado.
You're actually paying to be in it.
We're essentially, yes. Yeah.
Noodles makes a lot of good decisions is what we're learning here today. All right, before we let you go, you're playing the Pacific Amphitheater at the OC Fair. What a fun night that is, by the way. Who's this opening act, Johnny Two Bags, Noodles?
Yes, yeah. He's an OC legend, you know, punk rock legend. He does some kind of alternative country sounding stuff. As I understand, that's what he'll be doing tonight. His set.
Okay, tickets are on sale. Believe it or not, you can still buy tickets at ocfair.com or packamp.com. All reserved seats include free OC Fair admission. What a beautiful summer evening to see The Offspring at the OC Fair. That's going to be tonight. And then the sold-out show at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium is on Friday. Noodles, we love you, man. It's always great to get a chance to catch up with you, and our best to the boys, all right?
Thanks, Bean. I'm looking forward to our road trip and giving you financial advice the whole way.
I can't wait for it as well.
It is 7:52.
Ralph Garman is here. It is time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin Bean Show, what's going on?
Sad news. Creator of such great TV shows as Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy. Gary Marshall has passed away. Longtime writer in television. Started his career as a performer and a joke writer for comedians. Then became a writer for The Tonight Show. And then Dick Van Dyke Show. A lot of legendary sitcoms in the 60s. In the 70s, started creating his own work like Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy. Then went on to films like Pretty Woman, you know, Runaway Bride, the Princess Diary films. Sister of actress Penny Marshall, Gary Marshall has passed away at the age of 81 years old. Sad news. Very talented guy. Very funny man. And great comic performer, actor, as well as writer and director. So it's just sad. Also directed one of my favorite films, Frankie and Johnny, if you ever saw it, with Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, right,
really
yeah.
Good song. Good film. Did a lot of good movies. And so, sad.
As you said earlier, too, one of the most beloved figures in Hollywood.
Easily.
Everybody who worked with him enjoyed it so much and had nothing but great things to say about him.
Yeah, you just see.
And not just when he's now that he's gone, but, no. You know, always.
He was always treated like a legend, not only for his work, but for how happy he made his sets and how well he took care of his talent. He discovered Robin Williams. I mean, Robin Williams would... You know, when he put him in Mork and Mindy, he was pretty much an unknown. And he said, this guy's insanely talented. We got to put him on television.
I feel like that's pretty rare for the entertainment industry.
Very much so.
Did you see his tweet from his daughter? From Robin Williams' daughter?
Oh, yeah.
Said, rest in peace, Gary Marshall. You forever changed my father's life and thus mine. Thank you for capturing so much joy on film over and over.
Donald Logue said that his motto is always, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And not many people.
That's
like
Bean's
that.
Motto.
It is, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were suggesting it was Chachi appearing on the Republican National Convention that killed Mr. Marshall.
Well,
I hope that's not true.
Almost took me out. I know that much. So for a man at his age, I can see why it might have a detrimental effect. Tonight on television, Michelle Obama's segment of James Corden's Carpool Karaoke is going to air on the Late Late Show. Michelle Obama will reportedly be singing a bunch of songs with James Corden in his song, including some Beyonce. As well as This Is For My Girls, the Diane Warren song, inspired by the Let Girls Learn initiative. So that'll be very cool. And not to be outdone, tomorrow night, Melania Trump will appear on the James Corden Show. She also apparently will be singing a bunch of songs, including some Beyonce, and a song, This Is For My Girls, by Diane Warren, a song inspired by the Let Girls Learn initiative. So it's
I get it.
Something different, just a change of pace. J.J. Abrams, speaking of Star Trek, has officially announced that they won't be replacing Anton Yelchin and his role of Chekhov in any of the future movies. Said yesterday to the Toronto Sun, I would say there's no replacing him. There's no recasting. I can't possibly imagine that. And I think Anton deserves better. Anton, of course, passed away in that freak Jeep accident when it rolled out of park and crushed him. And the one thing he said they may address in the next Star Trek film, perhaps will be the death of Chekhov's character, so they can close out that storyline. He said, we have thought about it, and we're working on it, but it's too early to talk about, he said to the paper. So we'll have to wait and see. Jack Black's next movie will be all about the real-life story of Jan Lewin. Bean, you know Jan Lewin, of course.
I don't. I don't recognize the name at all.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Dean.
Who's
Jan Lewin?
The Pennsylvania Polka King?
No! How did I miss this?
The Grammy-nominated polka sensation, Jan Lewin?
I am embarrassed to say I am unfamiliar with Mr. Lewin's work.
That is embarrassing.
You're disgusting.
What a jerk you are. Son of a bleh.
Open up a blog.
Jan, of course, started his career playing small Polish clubs and churches in Pennsylvania with his polka music. Then went on to much bigger venues. In the early 70s, Jan would organize trips to Poland for his fans and buy souvenirs there to sell on tour and at his store. He was quite the entrepreneur. To finance these trips, he would often sell promissory notes at a guaranteed 12% interest. If you financed his trip, he would pay you back 12% on your investment.
Really?
That all turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. He was ripping people off.
That's what it sounds like.
And it all came to light, and he got into a lot of trouble over it. Jack Black will star as the Polka King in a movie of the same name. And Jenny Slate, the very talented Jenny Slate, will be co-starring the film as well. So I haven't seen a frame, and I'm already laughing.
I am in.
Yeah.
They got from gig to gig in an RV as well.
Right. Oh. It was the best experience they ever had.
They said, we highly recommend it.
And they'd play the accordion and eat bratwurst.
Right.
Everyone had a good time. And you know how it pains me to say this, but Bean was right.
Oh, take it easy.
Bean was
right.
Let's
discuss first.
Let's not discuss. It's a fact. We were all talking about the fact that Donald Trump took the stage at the Republican National Convention to We Are the Champions.
Yes.
Yeah. Queen, not in love with that choice.
Right.
Was not thrilled that he was using their music. However, there's nothing they can do about it. Because the RNC paid the performing rights to BMI, and they licensed the use of that Queen's song in that venue, in that conventional venue.
I didn't know that existed, that venues had deals.
They have licenses with the
Well, they have to, Kevin,
promoters.
Because when you hear all the little songs played in timeouts at Lakers games, for instance, that's all. You know, they have a contract with BMI or with ASCAP or something like that to play any song that's licensed by those organizations.
And that's how they got away with it.
Hmm.
So Queen's
Queen
can
not like it. But
they're frustrated, but they can't do anything about it. Yeah.
You saw the same thing happen again last night, right, Ralph?
I did not.
Earth, Wind & Fire complaining about them playing September, the house band, during a break in the RNC last night, played the song September. And Earth, Wind & Fire was like, no. But again, I think they're going to run into the same problem. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah. And when Tiffany Trump came out, they played Baby Got Back, which I thought was an odd choice as well. But it's been an odd convention. So
It has been. It's a skit. A sketch, right? This is the new SNL summer series.
It's a big parody. It's from the makers of Veep. They've created this new political comedy, and we're all just being taken for suckers. Today's celebrity...
Don't we wish that was the case?
You couldn't write it. You couldn't. If someone said, I have an idea. What if the wife of the wannabe president rips off the speech of the first lady from like 8 years ago?
Not believable.
And she uses like just big paragraphs of the same speech. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Yeah, but the people are going to say we're idiots.
That's ridiculous.
Pass that off as actual storyline.
You will never ever give up.
Never give up.
And most importantly,
yeah,
he will never ever let you down.
Never let you down.
We will never let you down. I like.
She said about her husband. Did you see the sketch on Maya and Marty where Maya Rudolph played Melania Trump and her new line of edible diamonds?
I did.
I love wearing diamonds. The only problem is you cannot eat them. Those days are over with Melania Trump edible diamonds.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Carlos Santana, 69. Chris Cornell turns 52 today. Very different person. Stone Gossard is 50 years old today. Josh Holloway from Lost turns 47. Sandra Oh is 45. Omar Epps turns 43. Judy Greer, one of our favorites, 41 years old today. Giselle Bundchen celebrates her 36th birthday. Who's she married to? She's married to that guy who used to play football, right? Guy who will
Brady?
He won't be playing.
Jim Brady?
For like a month, right?
I think it is Jim Brady. That sounds right.
He's going to sit down for a month?
Yeah, I think.
The ugly one, right?
Because of his cheating? I remember that now. Harley Mortenstein is 31 years old. And John Francis Daly.
He wrote the Star-Spangled Banner.
Nope, that would be Francis Scott Key.
Oh,
I should have went to Kevin with that one. I'm sorry. That's my bad. That's
How dare you?
Missed opportunity.
Like I wouldn't have known.
Yes, like you wouldn't have known.
Yeah, I think that's our point.
Right.
Actor and screenwriter is 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. We're going to open up the phone lines for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Anything on your mind? 1-800-520-1067. If you want to talk TV shows, you want to talk stories that we're not addressing on the Kevin and Bean show, any interest, any questions, 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
1-800-520-1067. On any topic, call us now. It's time for Kevin Beans. What's good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
I love some of these calls. Let's start with Nadine. She's in Inglewood. What do you do when you find out something about a person that you're dating? What's a deal breaker for you? If they're a truther, what do you? How do you handle it? Let's see what's going on in Nadine's life. I think she's got a problem for us. Welcome to the show. What's good?
Morning, guys.
Hi.
I was at the OC Fair on Friday with my boyfriend, and we were, you know, talking about the kids' toys. He goes, you know, I had a little My Little Pony when I was a little kid. I was like, what? He's from Kentucky. Parents are super conservative. I'm like, he's like, I was five. I didn't know, so they got me one of the blue ones with the long hair because it was blue and I wanted it. I was like, okay. He's like, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm like, I don't know.
So far, he's talking about his childhood, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I grew up in Jamaica. My parents were conservative. My dad, Rastafarian. I didn't start wearing pants until I was 12 years old. That's when we came to the U.S. My mom was like, hey, Alexander.
Okay, I don't know that we need all that backstory.
You know, the conservative parents. My dad was like, nope, girls do this, boys do that. So I was surprised. His parents being Southern and conservative got him a freaking My Little Pony.
Okay, but again, he was five. It's not like you found out he was a brony and he's going to a convention this weekend. He was just a kid. He grew out of it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but then he said it, and I'm like, okay. Then he kept going on. I'm like, he goes, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm like, is there anything else you want to tell me? Because I'm like, you haven't, okay, you're five. But he goes, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It was blue, right? I was a boy. Boys like blue. I'm like, are you a brony?
Okay.
He goes, no. I'm like, okay, are you sure? But who knows? I mean,
who knows? All right.
I think it's cool.
There's
and I hear the phone ringing, so.
Yeah, nothing we can do about that. All right, thank you.
Thank
Nadine.
You, Nadine.
So her dad was a Rastafarian?
Yes.
She didn't start wearing pants until she was 12?
Correct.
Is she in the Viggo Mortensen movie?
Not positive.
Okay.
That was a lot.
Let's go to Greg in Huntington Beach. He's up next. He's on line two on the Kevin Beach Show. Greg, thank you for calling. What's up, my friend?
You guys let Bean off the hook.
We let Bean off the hook. How?
In the last segment, you guys were talking about playing Queens, We Are the Champions.
Right.
And he mentioned during timeouts at the stadiums they play music, Mr. Daylight Saving Time missed it. It's Time's Out.
Is All that right. correct?
What?
I have heard.
That doesn't sound right.
I have heard that argument before, and I don't know what is actually correct. To me, in my mind, without getting too deep into this, timeout is a two-word phrase that acts as a one-word phrase. So that's why I put the S on the end, like timeouts. To me, it's not the same as attorneys general or sisters-in-law or other constructions like that.
Boom, Greg.
No, but I don't know that I'm right. I'm just saying that's why I don't say time's out, is because to me time out is just it's acting as one word, so I put the S on the end. Does that make any sense, Greg?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It doesn't change the fact that it's wrong.
It's very possible that it's wrong.
Or in attorneys general, to your point. But it is, in fact, time's out.
All right. Take it easy, Bean Jr.
All right.
We got it.
I'll try to work on that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Brian Pasadena, up next, line three on the Kevin Beach Show. Brian, thank you for calling. What's good?
Hey, so the Dodgers announced yesterday that Clayton Kershaw is going to be out indefinitely. And Hyunjin Ryu, who hasn't pitched all year, pitched one start, and now he's on the DL again for elbow soreness. And it's just killing me that none of these Dodger players can stay healthy this year.
Is it a worse year than usual for injuries?
Last year was pretty awful, and then this year has somehow managed to one-up last year.
Wow.
Look, every baseball team, every sports team goes through injuries. It is part of the game. You are in an occupation where you are likely to get hurt.
But that's when you find out how deep the team is.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Look, the Dodgers have a great bullpen.
They do. They have the number one bullpen in the National League.
Well,
really?
We were kidding.
I was kidding. I didn't think they were that good.
So that's good? You don't replace Clayton Kershaw.
No, of course not.
He's your ace. He's the guy you're hoping for, 17, 18 wins out of in a season. And, yeah, it's super, super bad news when that guy goes down. Plus, you're paying him a lot of money to not pitch. So I definitely feel bad for Dodgers fans, and I hope it's his back pain. That's what he's got. There's something wrong with his lower back, right?
Yeah, he has a herniated disc in his lower back.
Oh man. That could take a while. All right, Brian, fingers crossed. Hope he comes back soon. Let's go to Encino. Let's say hi to Lindsay. She's on line 5, and she's next. Hey, Lindsay, what's good? Hi.
Hey, I'm calling to thank Bean, of all things.
Okay, yeah. For?
Because you gave me a great stock tip. I went and bought Nintendo stock, I don't know, like kind of like mid last week, kind of when you mentioned it. I'm a podcast listener.
Right.
So I didn't hear until a few days later. But, yeah, it's already up 20%. And I just wanted to thank you and kind of talk to you about how much money we're making.
Wow. Bean.
Bean, how much money are you making?
Well, I didn't buy it. Look, all my money's in Twitter. You guys know that. You guys know that I've already lost 2/3 of my investment in Twitter. So you heard about the Pokemon Go and what it was doing for Nintendo stock, and you jumped on that. And you're saying since then it's gone up another 20%?
Yeah, from when I purchased it. And I didn't just hear about it. I heard it from you.
There you go.
You said that it had gone up 25%. So I was like, oh, I got to go get on it right now.
Never take advice from Bean, but I'm glad it worked out for you. I'm happy that it worked out. Thank you, Lindsay. And by the way, thank you to everybody for getting the podcast. That's awesome. It's very cool of you to do. All right. Let's take Tommy. I think he's got a great idea. What do you think, Bean?
Good morning.
Hi, Tommy. What's good?
Hey, Tommy. What's good?
Well, what's good is Bean's planned RV trip.
Right.
And I am proposing that he goes along purely for his own safety. He adds 2 more companions on the trip.
Okay.
Beer mug.
Oh, good.
Hold on. Before you say no, Bean, beer mug can entertain the dogs while you're driving. You can clean up their messes in the back.
Uh-huh.
Interviews when you stop.
Okay. Right. You do interviews when you stop by yourself along the side of the road?
Absolutely. And who else? Who's the second person?
Sam, the Armenian comedian.
No, that's ridiculous because Sam is not the right guy, but Doto is the right guy.
It's not a whack pack cruise.
Yes, it could
it's
be,
not.
Though. It could be the greatest trip of your life.
It's not Celebrity Big Brother.
Come on,
I'm just
Bean.
Trying to move my family. That's all that's happening here.
You stop at a couple of landmarks, you get a haircut along the way.
Oh, Tommy's got this all planned. I like it.
Tommy's on it.
Sounds like Tommy's the producer of this show.
All right. Well, have a good day, guys.
I like it.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Those are great ideas. I'll tell you that. What's good? Hey, Jeopardy, right?
Yeah.
That's not a question.
You guys are with me.
What is Jeopardy?
Great. That's a great question.
See? Mm-hmm.
That is a fantastic question. Allie, you watch the show sometimes?
I watch it almost every night at 7 p.m.
No kidding.
We've had this conversation before. Yes.
I don't listen to you. I tune you out.
Well, that's shocking.
It's a tiny bit sad.
Jeopardy is awesome. I love Jeopardy. It's on a long list of shows, as we so frequently talk about, that I adore. But I just don't have time. You know, I get the limited amount of time that I have to watch whatever I'm going to watch that night, and that's it. And usually it doesn't include time for Jeopardy. But I love that show. Kevin, how about you? Jeopardy?
I don't need to watch programs that make me feel more dumb.
Hmm.
Well, so I can't really play along.
Well, what about Teen Jeopardy? I think you can nail like one or two questions.
Do they do Kindergarten Jeopardy?
Not yet.
Okay.
The reason I brought it up, Kevin, is there was a category on that I'm going to put money down that you could run the board.
That's what Bean does even, just before he asks me questions that I don't have answers to.
No. You're willing to bet against yourself? If I tell you that there's a category on Jeopardy this week.
Yes.
With 5 questions in a row, the 200, what is it, Allie? 200, 400, 800, 1,000, and 2,000? Is that what it is?
Ish.
Okay. 5 questions in a row, and I believe that you will get them all, and I'm willing to put money on it. Would you take that bet?
Yes, I will bet against it.
Would you risk it all with the Daily Double?
I don't think we've gotten to that point yet.
Okay, sorry.
I would bet against me knowing all 5.
All right. Allie, what do you think? Now, I know it's a little unfair because you don't know the category, but it's a category that appeared on the real TV Jeopardy. So do you think there's a chance that there is a category that Kevin could run the category?
Absolutely.
You think yes?
Yeah.
Allie's just being nice.
Chip, how about you?
Is it about chocolate?
It is not about chocolate.
Then no.
Okay. The category was called Learn to Fly. Learn to Fly was the category.
I'm
Foo
changing.
Fighters, and it's all Foo Fighters questions.
Okay.
Yeah, because Bean would not have thought that I know things about.
You're like the Wright brothers.
Airlines.
Keep going.
And I was so excited to see our little friend Dave Grohl get this whole category on Jeopardy. And I thought, you know what? If, I think many Foo Fighters fans who listen to this show and listen to this station would be able to run this category. So let's see how Kevin does. Remember, I've got a dollar on it. He's got a dollar against it. Here's
betting against myself, but I am going to try.
Question number one.
The band's debut album was written entirely by Dave Grohl, primarily known until then for work with this band.
I would say that would be Nirvana.
In the form of a question, Kevin.
Is it Nirvana?
In the form of a question.
Did Dave Grohl sing and play drums for Nirvana?
Just say, what is?
What is Nirvana? Yes.
The upswing.
That is correct. It's a question.
It does sound questionable.
So I got one.
All right.
Wait, is that right?
It is correct, yes. Okay. And contestant Jason, I believe was his name, also got that category, so he continued on with the next question on the board.
Okay.
The name Foo Fighters comes from these mysterious objects known to pester pilots.
All right.
Is it UFOs?
It is UFOs. Yes. What are UFOs? Would be
boom.
The correct
what are UFOs?
Like that. That's correct. So,
I'm not posing that as a question, by the way.
I know you are.
You wouldn't get it right.
Is it UFOs as a question?
No, know, that's not what they. Not how they do
it. That's a dumb show.
Well, it's not. It's the best.
Is that right?
Jason, yes, it is correct. Okay, Jason also got that one right. That was the last question that any of the three contestants able to buzz in on. So the next three, none of them got. I still hold out that Kevin will get them all.
There goes this person. He's ordinary. In a song whose video showed a building on fire.
All right.
What is My Hero?
You are correct, sir. Yes.
Thank you.
You are now better than any of the contestants who were on that night.
Foo Fighters for 1200, Alex.
Was this a documentary of the 8-city recording process accompanied the 2014 album Sonic These.
What is cities?
Mm-mm.
What is highways? Highways.
Yeah. I wasn't finished.
I wasn't finished. I was working it. I was working it through.
Out loud.
Alex would sass you so hard right now.
Well, Alex a dick.
That sometimes.
Because I wasn't done.
I know.
I had a dollar down on Kevin running the category.
Highways?
Yes, it's highways. Oh, I'm so disappointed in both of us now.
You should have known better.
Me for putting my faith in you. You for being you.
Yeah.
All right, just for fun, let's see what the last one was. Whatever.
David Letterman could have chosen many, but he wanted and got this for his last Late Show song.
David Letterman.
He made a big deal out of that. It was his
last
favorite
episode,
song of all time.
It was his favorite song, and he had Dave Grohl come out and sing it.
That was his favorite song of all time. I'm going to go, I don't know this one. Everlong.
That is correct. Not in the form of the question, but yes, that is.
Is Everlong the answer to that question?
What is Everlong?
You're the worst.
I'm going to say you should not be a contestant on Jeopardy.
Right, but I'm going to say I did pretty well.
Absolutely.
Considering it's me, so let's call it a push, Bean.
Well, as long as I don't have to give you the that push, then I'm
That's
fine.
That's the push, yeah.
It's a push then. Well done. Right.
Or a win. I mean, we could call it a win. For me,
I mean, I guess based on your definition of the word win.
Yeah. Well, right, Caro Q on a 6.7. I mean, Rodney on the Rock Show.
I think this is our part.
Live in the mornings now.
Still Kevin and Bean.
Rodney in the AM.
Nope.
Rodney.
Hey, listen. Okay. Rodney Bingenheimer does Sunday nights here on K-Rock and has for 40 years.
Now I'm doing the morning show, finally.
Nope. We just asked you to come in to give away some tickets for us.
Rising Sun with Rodney.
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, that's catchy.
And Rodney,
I
was surprised to find out because you are well known for your love of the 80s. You play a lot of 80s. You do love it. And how do you feel about the 90s? I don't recall.
I hate the 90s.
But I was surprised to find out that 21 Pilots is a band that you are a huge fan of.
I love Pilots.
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots.
21, 22, whatever it takes.
Uh-oh.
They are playing
Sully.
The Forum this Saturday night.
Sully Sullenberger.
We're giving away some
Land
tickets.
A plane on the ocean.
And a meet and greet with the band right now. If you can, stump Rodney.
Yeah, wigwam bam. Hit it, Steve.
So they're going to ask a question about the band 21 Pilots, and if you don't know it, they go into the drawing to win the tickets for Saturday night. You got that, Rodney?
Sully Sullenberger.
What do you? No, focus. Focus. 21 Pilots. You ready?
All right.
All right.
What did I win?
Start with Sam in Norwalk. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Good. Thank you. Stump Rodney, please.
Okay. So, hey, Rodney.
Hey.
What is TJ's favorite video game of all time, and what system was it for?
Hmm.
I only understood about half those words. What did Tijuana play in the game?
What?
I think TJ.
What is TJ's favorite video game?
Oh, right. Wow. Eurythmics.
Now, does that sound like a video game to you, Rodney?
The Eurythmics game.
Is it the Eurythmics game, Sam?
It is not.
It is.
It is the Super Smash Brothers for the Nintendo GameCube.
Wow, that's way too tough for Rodney.
I don't know.
He knows a lot, but
I don't care how much you love
made of these.
Right, but how much do you have to love 21 Pilots to go that deep into their trivia? By the way, that's pretty hardcore.
Right,
right.
Thanks, Obama.
Let's try Phoebe in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi,
Phoebe.
Stump Rodney.
What were the full names of the original band members?
Full names of the original band members.
Right, for 21 Pilots. 21, how many were there, Phoebe? Can you give us a hint?
Names?
There were two.
There were two the original band.
Without Tyler.
Two names.
Yes.
Thomas Dolby and Sheena Easton.
I'd be surprised if that's correct.
I feel like
correct.
It's close.
I don't feel like it's close at all.
Oh.
Phoebe?
Their names were Nick Thomas and Chris Solly.
Huh. Thomas, I got one of them.
All right. Phoebe, you are in the
this
drawing. Now, I saw what you're doing with the Thomas Dolby and the Sheen Easton, but again, this is not about the 80s. It's
all
about
right,
the
Monkees.
21 Pilots is what we're talking about here, so concentrate.
21 Pilots, a lot
yes.
of pilots.
All right, Leslie in Santa Ana. Hi.
Hi.
Still Leslie. Rodney.
Hello, Josh. Oh, hello. Do you know Josh Dunn's birthday?
Josh Dunn's birthday.
Now, this is going to be a date, Rodney.
A date.
If you don't know, just guess a day of the year.
Sunday.
Like no, like not a day, a date, like a month and a number.
Month of Sundays.
Okay. Okay.
Is it a month of Sundays, Leslie?
If it is, that would be awesome. What is it, please?
It's actually on
June 18, 1988.
Yeah, you can't say it after her.
All right, what I win.
That doesn't work.
All right, Leslie is also in the drawing. Who's our next contestant to Stump Rodney?
Next is Danielle in Van Nuys. Hi.
Hi.
Stump Rodney.
Nope.
Careful, Rodney.
Oh. Go ahead, Stump Rodney.
All right.
Hi. Do you know how Tyler and Josh first met?
Muffins.
Is it muffins?
They met over muffins.
No.
They both love muffins.
What's the answer, Danielle?
The original drummer gave Josh a demo, and then Josh went to see Tyler's band play.
And did they at
then
any
they
point
went
have muffins?
Muffins.
And then they had muffins afterwards.
Yeah, Canner's Deli.
All right. Thank you, Danielle. You're
like
in the drawing.
Blueberries.
That's a terribly boring story about how they met. All right, just one
Danielle. Danielle?
Nope. Nope.
All right.
Let's go to Marlise, who's calling from Glendora. Hi there.
Hi. My question is, what matching tattoos do Tyler and Josh have, and where do they have them?
Yes, Rodney, concentrate.
All right, concentrating.
Tattoos.
They have tattoos of muffins.
No, why?
You just said that was your last guess.
Okay.
Is it muffins?
What'd I win?
Marlise.
Yes?
What's the answer, please?
Oh, it's a square with an X in the middle. And Tyler's is on his right bicep, and Josh's is behind his right ear.
What do those mean? Why do they have those?
Strikes.
They have those. They got those at their hometown show in, 2013.
All right. Unresponsive. Hang on. You're in the draw. Marlise might win. Danielle, also Leslie, Phoebe, and
attempt
Sam. Only one will win tickets for 21 Pilots to meet and greet at the this Saturday night. Who's our winner, please?
Danielle.
No.
Danielle won.
We'll tell her.
I'll tell her.
Danielle.
Yeah.
You got the tickets and the meet and greet.
Woo!
Do you have a date for the show?
Congratulations. Yes. Thank you for playing the game. Gotta go, Rodney.
After the show.
Gotta go.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
It's almost Vigo time, you guys.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
Looking forward to that. Viggo Mortensen joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Yeah, sad news to bring you. Late last night, we found out that Gary Marshall had passed away. One of the real greats in television and then eventually in film, made the transition in the 90s. Started off as a joke writer and performer in the 60s, then started working for all the great sitcoms back in the day, the Dick Van Dyke Show and the Lucy Show, the Tonight Show. Had his first big hit by taking the big Broadway show and movie, the Odd Couple, to television with Tony Randall and Jack Klugman. That was a big hit, and that started him on his TV career. And then he is so funny because he wrote a pilot for a show about the 50s called Happy Days.
Never heard of it.
Well, at the time, no one had, and no one was interested.
Really?
ABC said, no, this is dumb.
This seems
We're not
going to
put this on television. It's stupid.
Every successful show seems to have that start.
So he took that pilot and he reworked it into an episode of what was a show called Love American Style, which was an anthology show about love and relationships and stuff. And it aired as an episode of that. And then George Lucas came to him and said, I'm thinking about doing a movie about the 50s called American Graffiti. Can I see that pilot that you did with that guy, Ron Howard? I'm thinking about casting him. Can I take a look? And so Gary Marshall showed it to him, and of course Lucas did cast him in American Graffiti, and then the movie came out, and it was a huge hit. And everybody starts saying, we did a 50s show on television! What's wrong with you people? Can't anyone come up with an idea for a 50s show for television? And Gary Marshall said, yeah, I happen to have one right here. And
that you all rejected.
That was Happy Days, which spun off Laverne and Shirley, and Mork and Mindy, and Joni Loves Chachi. But look, talk about the man's successes. Went on to direct movies like Pretty Woman and Runaway Bride, the Princess Diaries franchise, and many, many more. He was a terrific guy and a huge talent. Passed away at the age of 81 yesterday. So a lot of people paying tribute to him online and talking about not only what a great talent he was and what a great eye he had for talent and new talent and discovering people, like his own sister, Penny Marshall, gave her first big break on television, but Robin Williams and Ron Howard gave him a shot when Ron Howard was pretty much a washed-up kid actor. Had done the Andy Griffith Show, and nobody was really interested in a grown-up Ron Howard except for Gary Marshall. So a lot of tributes to him.
That's
today.
Pretty cool.
Sad news that he's gone, but he leaves behind a body of work that will live forever. Just like Justin Bieber.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, too. I don't know. That was a bad... I was a force, and I apologize. Have you seen the video circulating this week of Bieber encountering a fan at a clothing store?
Mm-mm. I have not.
He hates his fans. That
he
much
really
we
does.
Know. Two videos hit this week. One of this, one I'm talking about, a fan, a gushing young lady, sees him at a clothing store, and he's going through the rack, whatever, and he looks over, and she goes up to him and spreads her arms, a la our own Kevin Ryder,
who How
goes,
dare you.
Goes in for the hug sometimes with female guests when they're not expecting it.
How very inappropriate.
Indicates,
dare you, sir.
Indicates the forced hug, and Bieber wheels around and goes, no, and walks away from her like she's a bad dog.
Oh.
And the girl turns around and look, you can see her face in the camera. She's just crushed.
Wow.
And another video this week of Bieber on stage in Atlantic City where a fan throws a gift up on the stage, and he promptly kicks it off the stage saying, I don't want this S.
Wow.
So, he's our boy. That's all I'm saying.
But the fans aren't responsible for any of his success, are they?
No.
Define our boy.
He's a man-made man, boy, child.
I'm with Kevin, by the way. He nailed it yesterday. We hope now that Justin is into playing Pokemon Go that he somehow falls off a cliff while trying to catch a character.
So look, he can't walk on a stage without falling into a hole. Right? What's he going to do when he's playing Pokemon Go?
That's why I'm rooting for Pokemon Go.
It really is starting to thin the herd.
Right.
Now that I think about it, it's a very useful tool. We've needed something like this in society for some time. that's making money, that Pokemon Go, by the way.
Is it?
It's making a few dollars. Mm. And it's just about to make some more. You know what they're doing now?
Don't tell me a movie.
Oh, sure. Well, it's just a matter of time.
Of course.
I'll be announcing that
it's a given.
In the next hour, I'm sure. But they're getting smart. Nintendo You're starting to get smart. You, let's say you want, I don't know, let's say you're McDonald's. And you want a whole bunch of Pokemon that people can catch at your McDonald's. Why don't why don't you fork over a little cash to the good folks at Nintendo and they can load up some critters and let everyone know that
critters?
I think they're critters. Let everybody know, oh, McDonald's, we're stinking, we're lousy with them. They're in the deep fryer, they're on the bun pile.
Really?
They're everywhere.
Where else?
They must have a pile of buns back there, don't they? They use a lot of them. And so, apparently, McDonald's and other locations now are starting to buy sponsorship. So, let's say, you know, McDonald's pays Nintendo an X number of dollars, and then Nintendo directs them to a restaurant, which in the game would be a gym or a Pokestop or any of these things.
Hey, Ralph, what would be involved? Yes, go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I think we're on the same page.
Idea.
Oh.
If we do a GoFundMe.
Uh-huh.
For
a K-Rock, a gym? A
Pokemon
not
K-Rock.
Gym?
No? Bean's House.
Bean's House.
I love it.
Do you love it?
Make it a Pokestop.
I love it so much.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Bean, would you love that?
No!
What?
I'm stunned by your reaction.
Terrible idea.
Pokestop! Pokestop! Pokestop!
Well, they'd have to get over the moat and get past the snipers to catch one.
Says the guy without a moat and snipers.
Are you kidding? These players are dedicated. Love that.
They walk off cliffs.
Exactly.
They don't care.
Oh, Bean's House is right. Pokestop. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
We could make that happen.
It could be the hotbed for New Orleans Pokemon hunting.
Oh, dear God.
And let's make the RV like a moving Pokemon gym.
Oh, my God,
gym.
Just trailing him the whole way.
People would just be driving really recklessly around him, pulling in front, trying to catch them all.
Oh, this plan has everything.
Oh, it's the greatest idea you've ever had.
I love it.
Let's have a bake sale. Raise some money. What do you say? Today's celebrity birthday is Carlos Santana, 69 years old. Today's singer Chris Cornell turns 52. 52.
Tunes?
Stone Gossard is 50 years old. Pearl Jam, of course. Josh Holloway, the actor, is 47. Sandra Oh is 45. Omar Epps, 43 years old. Our beloved Judy Greer is 41. Giselle Bundchen celebrates her 36th birthday. And Harley Mortenstein of Epic Mealtime and actor, screenwriter John Francis Daly both celebrate 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's one of those red letter days on the Kevin and Bean Show, you guys. We're going to look back on this and go, we weren't worthy. But the great actor Viggo Mortensen is in here, one of the most acclaimed actors of his generation in films like Eastern Promises and History of Violence, Lord of the Rings, The Road, and the new one in theaters now called Captain Fantastic. Viggo, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, all.
This is a real thrill for us. You don't live in the United States, right?
I don't really live anywhere. I travel a lot just because my family's spread all over the place, and I'm in the United States a lot. So.
Okay, I would imagine you would have to be for making movies, for promoting movies and whatnot. Well, we're happy to have you. I can't believe we finally get you in here. This Captain Fantastic movie that's out now is a movie that deserves to be talked about, and I know that you get offered a lot of things. I imagine you got a pretty good spidey sense on what material kind of speaks to you, right?
I don't have a real plan. I just, you know, try to, if I can be lucky enough to be included, be in movies that I'd like to go see in the movie theater myself. It's kind of subjective. You know, movies I'm not going to be ashamed of seeing again 10 years from now. That's basically my... You spend a lot of time around Seattle, don't you?
Yes, sir. That's where I live. Right?
Yeah, that's near where we shot a lot of this movie, in the woods up there in the Northwest.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The scenery that you show in the film with you and your movie family. Why don't you describe for folks who haven't heard Captain Fantastic what it's all about?
Well, it'd be a little long, but basically I'm a dad. I have a brood of six kids between the ages of 7 and 18, three girls, three boys, and we live off the grid, meaning no electricity, no TV, no electronic gadgets. We hunt, we fish, we grow our own food. The kids speak 6-7 languages. They can talk about philosophy, mathematics, U.S. Constitution, anything.
And the three-year-old.
They can argue their points, and they're pretty amazing.
The three-year-old in that movie is smarter than me.
I can't believe the stuff that these kids already know.
It almost looks at the beginning like you're sort of training them for war.
Yeah,
it has that feel.
I guess the first few minutes are pretty intense. I mean, it's beautifully shot, the nature, but it's kind of brutal. There's a hunting scene, and you wonder what century you're in. Are these some kind of crazy survivalist people who are really paranoid and cut off from society and so forth. But the only thing that's true is that they're cut off from society. They're not savages. They're not really paranoid. They're really smart. They're always working on themselves, you know, in terms of physical endurance and skills and, you know, intellectually and all that. And it's, yeah, at first it looks like, well, this is some kind of crazy, maybe left-wing utopian fantasy, and they're going to come up against all these conservative obstacles and foes. And then you find out it's not really that at all. It's not a political movie. You know, there are at points you think that the guy, it's called Captain Fantastic, which you could put a question mark at the end. You know, it's about a dad who you alternately wonder, is he the best dad in the world? Or is he a menace to society? You know, it kind of fluctuates.
I thought that about four or five times during the movie. It just kept fluctuating.
Is that what you were drawn to in that story?
It was just a really well-written story. It was one of the best scripts I'd read in many years. And fortunately, the director was interested in me to play the dad. So, yeah, I thought, as I said to him, this is a great script. You don't see many scripts like this. The only problem is to make a great movie from it, you're going to have to find six young geniuses, Olympic athlete level fitness and all that, and really willing to go to some extremes, you know, in the kids.
You got a handsome but family in this movie.
Yeah.
And they were great.
Yeah, they're incredible.
Vigo, you're a father yourself, so you know as well as any parent listening that there are a million choices that have to be made when you're deciding how to raise your children. And that's what's so fascinating about this film, and that's why I think so many people will talk about this movie after they see it. Like Ali said, is you can go back and forth within the same scene about whether this guy is doing damage to his kids by the brutal honesty that he shows toward them.
The dinner scene, especially.
Yeah. It's also funny. I mean, you know, the contrast between them and, say, his sister's family, my sister's family, and other people they run into in so-called civilization is pretty funny sometimes. Sometimes it's shocking. But, you know, as out there as they are, as radical as this family model is, the basic foundation of the family is complete honesty, constant curiosity, and open discourse. You know, there's no subject that's off the table.
There's no room for any of those things in America anymore, Vigo. where we live.
No, but you know, on a serious note, even though it's not about politics, this movie really speaks to the benefits of communicating honestly with people, particularly with people that seem different than you, that you maybe wouldn't even want to meet, that you feel are so different. I think that obviously in the political campaign going on right now, which is fanned, you know, the flames are fanned by the media because it sells. There's a lot of polarization. People aren't talking. And most importantly, people aren't listening. There's a lot of screaming and yelling going on, but everybody's in their camps. And I think that all this stuff that's going on with the politicians, which is so brain dead and damaging, reflects something that's really going on in society. We have a communication problem in the United States. And this movie speaks about that. So as crazy as this family might seem, there's a lot of things. The foundation of what they're about is really solid.
Before we realized it was okay when we're watching the movie, the kids do question you in certain ways. And I was like, wow, they better not say that because he's really going to crack the whip. And you don't. You're perfectly open to the conversation. I like that.
Yeah, he always says, well, present your argument if you disagree with me. You know, he's not the kind of dad who says no because I said so. He just doesn't want to, you know, bother with it.
And that's most parents. What you think are my way or the highway?
Yeah, and he's more like the kind of dad that says, nah, I don't think so, and I'll explain why. And if you have a counter argument, I'd love to hear it, even to the 7-year-old. That takes a lot more time and energy. More investment of time and energy as a parent, but it's worthwhile, you know. A lot of parents, I think, nowadays, you know, they're happy to farm their kids off to their iPads, iPods, phones, whatever, and not pay much attention, let them come and go, do what they want, because they want their kids to like them. They want their kids to think they're cool, and they're confused, you know, maybe even by the technology. But it's kind of it's really a cop-out. It takes effort. I mean, why did you have a kid? Yeah, you can have an accident and you have a kid, but then you gotta own up to it and either do it right or let someone else raise your kid. You know, if you're not gonna do it right, you gotta be engaged. You gotta give of yourself. You gotta give of your time.
This is the voice of actor Viggo Mortensen here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about his new film in theaters everywhere now called Captain Fantastic. I know we have to take a break, but before we do, Viggo, you strike me as a guy who could survive in the wilderness on your own. Am I wrong?
Maybe I could. I don't know. I mean, as a kid, my dad grew up on a farm, and he used to take my two brothers and I, you know, hunting and fishing and camping, very young age. I mean, the first time I went hunting with him, I was like 4 years old. So I did grow up doing that stuff, and I like being in the woods. That being said, I've never lived like the family in this story does. They're very extreme.
No, but I'd put my money on the fact that you could.
Yeah. You would outlast us, I'll tell you that.
I think those six kids could, too.
You'd be living a lot longer than we would out in the woods, that's for sure. Quick break. Viggo Mortensen is here. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock.
Ali, did we just see a bromance being born? Is that what just happened?
I'm talking about soccer.
Viggo Mortensen is here from the new film Captain Fantastic on the Kevin Abian Show. And right near the end of that song, they started talking about soccer. And
he grew up in Argentina for a while, so I just assumed, you know, that he was a soccer fan.
Yeah.
And I can't talk to Ali about it, and I can't talk to Chip about it. And Bean knows some, but for the most part, I'm sort of on my own.
You can call me anytime.
Okay, great.
I'm low down.
Okay, great.
True or false, Viggo, in the bus that you are driving with your family in the film Captain Fantastic, there is a photo hanging up above where you sit as the driver of the Argentine soccer team.
It's actually San Lorenzo, which is the team I grew up with as a kid. It's a
first
division team, yeah. But that's a picture of I think it's the 1933 national champion, so it goes back a ways.
Well, you got to carry that with you everywhere you go. You know,
we've won several championships since then. Not that
things
bad.
Have been updated.
Yes. We are the greatest team in the world, I think, probably right now.
Argentina.
Yeah. No, San Lorenzo.
Oh, San Lorenzo.
Argentina is pretty good.
Please, you're no FC Barcelona. Let's not get started on that.
Going to get ugly. I am not comfortable.
I think
right
we
now.
May have to do this as extracurricular.
I don't think I want any part of you in that way. So,
Viggo, I want to ask you this, and we'll talk some more about the movie, and I have a clip that I want to play that I love so much, a great scene in the film. You have been a musician most of your adult life and heavy into punk rock as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you've never been on K-Rock before, which really surprises me. I feel like yours and K-Rock's lives should have intersected at some point before today.
Yeah, they've been sort of parallel universes.
Right.
I've listened to you guys. I've listened to interviews on here. And I know you guys have a strict regimen as far as how you have a schedule every day, what kind of stuff you play. I'd like to recommend a record to you guys.
You can
talk to your musical director.
Love it.
There's two sisters out of Oklahoma. That are Peyton and Kelly, and their band is called Skating Polly, punk rock band. They're incredible. In fact, Exene Cervenka of X produced their second record. I think this is their fifth record. It's just come out. It's called The Big Fit, Skating Polly, and they're incredible. I would recommend to your musical director that he consider playing some tracks. Maybe track 5, maybe track 12, any of them.
Wow, he's very specific about his recommendations.
And since we're in the punk rock vein, I'll be real quick.
Yeah.
And I have no vested interest in this. I just think that's a great record. Also, there's two books that have come out recently that are connected to the L.A. punk world. One is Keith Morris of the Circle Jerks, his autobiography that's coming out now. It's called My Damage. It's a fantastic book about the genesis and the history of West Coast punk. And then a book that was authored by John Doe, but a lot of people write in that book. It's called Under the Big Black Sun, same as the name of their,
excellent.
Other records, yeah. And that's an incredible history, too, of X and other people's point of view of X.
I feel like you have written more books than we have read, Viggo. I feel like you're that.
Well, I have a publishing house. So
yes, of course you have a publishing house. And you write poetry, and you paint, and you make records.
Okay, that's a little annoying.
You've got to be an achiever, Viggo.
Just restless. Life is short. I just want to do as much stuff as I can, learn as much stuff.
Well, you are living every minute of it. Let me play this clip from Captain Fantastic, because I think this goes back to what we were talking about the differences in how you choose to raise your children and the by the way, this movie is you and your kids, a lot of it in the woods, but then you start to come across people in civilization, mm-hmm. and what a phenomenal supporting cast with Missy Pyle, with Steve Zahn.
Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn.
Frank Langella.
Frank Langella is incredible in this film.
Yeah, he is.
So Catherine Hahn is your sister, and he, you know, your wife has just passed away, and she's talking about the welfare of the children. And I think this perfectly crystallizes your character, Ben, and the differences between how these two parents are raising their kids.
But your kids are without a mother now. I don't think you have any idea what you're doing to them.
I'm saving their lives. That's what I'm doing.
You sound so ridiculous.
Is knowing how to set a broken bone or how to treat a severe burn ridiculous? Knowing how to navigate by the stars in total darkness, that's ridiculous? How to identify edible plants, how to make clothes from animal skins, how to survive in the forest with nothing but a knife, that's ridiculous to you?
Jesus.
They have the cardiovascular and muscular endurance levels of elite athletes.
Who cares? They're children. They need to go to school. They need to learn about the world.
Come on, Kat, right?
She's such
right.
A buzzkill.
She's right. Yeah. That's a great scene, though.
It's really early. I don't even think she'd had her first cup of coffee. It's okay. I love her.
Do you think Ben is ridiculous? I mean, look, his intentions are the very best. He loves his kids. He wants his kids to be prepared as best they can be for
him. He is ridiculous sometimes. He does go too far sometimes, and I think that's great. You're going to make mistakes if you're involved. That's why I was saying earlier, parents that play it safe. If you are involved, and it's, you know, again, to quote X, it's a game that moves as you play. And if you don't move, you can't play very well as a parent, as a person in any relationship. But every parent has a different situation with each of their children. And every day with that child is different. And there are no hard and fast rules. You can't learn it from books. You can watch other people being parents. But until you're a parent, you know, it's a mystery. And every day it can be very frustrating. If you are, you know if you're engaged or not as a parent. And if you are, you're going to make mistakes. It's unavoidable. And you see that in this movie. The trick is, do you ever acknowledge it? Do you realize it? And if you do realize it, that you've screwed up, do you do something about it? Or do you run away from it? Do you deny it? Do you argue with people? That's not just as a parent, but just as a human being in society.
When I was a kid, I always thought that my parents had all of the answers.
Yeah.
Because it always seemed
like... It's shocking to find out that they're human.
Right. And then when you have kids of your own, you go, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Right?
You just make it up as you go along.
I know. I love them. I know I'm making my best guess. That's it.
And it doesn't matter how, you know... kind or how calm a kid might be, how intelligent, you know, when they hit 12, 13, 14, their job really, in order to evolve as human beings, is to point out all your flaws.
Man, there's
and
a lot
to
of
be
them.
Disgusted and ashamed of you as a parent. It's not really personal. It's evolution. And you have to, sometimes it's hard to accept it, you know, because you feel like, well, especially if you're a parent who is involved, I've done all this stuff. I've sacrificed all my time. I'm not doing things I'd like to do. And you don't appreciate it. And you're throwing it in my face and so forth. But that's just a tug of war, psychological battle that you have with your kids. But I think the trick as a parent is to let your kids win. Not to let them get away with murder, but let them win in the short term on the anger stuff, the temper stuff. Sit back and listen to them. Your job is to try to help them negotiate adolescence, which is really hard. It's not a new thing. It's not just because now society is so complicated and technology and so forth. It's always been tricky.
Right. Yeah, different challenges with every generation, but it's all essentially the same thing. But the best part about being 16 is that you know all the answers to everything in the world.
That's true.
You're the smartest person in the world when you're 16.
Yeah, you probably do. And I think, I was an interview or something where Kurt Cobain was talking about that an adolescent's job is to point out corruption, you know, right. to force people to do something about it. And it can be really seem superficial or simplistic, some of the arguments, you know, let's just mess stuff up and let's say no to authority. And that's the job. That's their job. And it's your job to take what you can from it as a parent, I think. It's like, well, I don't completely agree. I don't agree with the way it's being expressed. But what is it that they're upset about? You know, what can I improve on?
Is it cool if I, as a parent, don't celebrate Noam Chomsky Day?
It's up to you.
Is that cool? Because in this movie,
it takes the place of Christmas.
Yeah. Right. That's a terrible substitution.
there are presents.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's interesting that that was your complaint, Kevin, because mine was that you now, because you're the man, Vigo, you now have to wear clothes to eat dinner. And I just think that's restrictive.
it's a little prudish.
Why are you in the way? If I want to eat naked, let me eat naked, Vigo.
But I felt when you were going to play the clip that you might play the one of the 7-year-old boy who asks what is rape, what's sexual intercourse, and we have a extended conversation about that that's shockingly honest. There's a lot of conversations like that about sex, about death, and I guess you can watch as an audience. We were talking about it in the break. Mm-hmm. That is that too much? Is that crazy?
Yeah, that was my question. I was watching. I'm like, oh, no, stop it. Don't tell him. And then I caught myself, and I'm like, why do I think it's too much? Mm-hmm. This kid needs to hear this at some point. Why not hear it then?
Well, those kids are going to find out eventually that their mom, committed suicide.
Your movie changed me.
Why not just tell him? Well, right. Good. There you go. Yeah.
Well, this is the beautiful – look, you're getting everything you want in this movie. It's a beautifully filmed and beautifully acted movie. And big ups, by the way, to your director and writer, Matt Ross, who behind this movie did a wonderful job.
Yeah, he really did.
Great acting, great story, and it really will cause a conversation because none of us are not part of a family at some point in our lives. So it's relatable to everybody. Go see this film. It's called Captain Fantastic. It is in theaters now. Vigo, what a thrill to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. We really enjoyed talking to you, sir.
Thanks for talking about the movie, and I do recommend it strongly. It's really it's great to feel like you can recommend something with no ifs, ands, or buts. It is a good movie. You won't regret going to see it.
And Vigo's penis is in it too, by the way. We can mention that.
That's true.
Yes.
But it may infuriate you. It may make you laugh. It may make you cry. It probably will do all those things.
It will.
But in the end, it's thought provoking, and I think it's a good ride.
Amen, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:46.
The problem with today is, Ralph, you've been in here talking up Mr. Gary Marshall, who we lost last night, and all of his phenomenal accomplishments throughout his life. And then we talked to Vigo, who does like 10 things well. And I just feel like we're real underachievers here. I feel like
you're just coming to that realization?
Well, this show is really bringing into sharp focus how little we contribute to the world compared to these great people.
What do you mean we, white man?
Time for our final look at the show. Being here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
As being mentioned, Gary Marshall did pass away at the age of 81 yesterday. Best known, of course, for creating and directing TV series like Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, and Mork and Mindy. He also made wildly successful films like The Flamingo Kid, one of my favorites, with Matt Dillon. It's a great film. Pretty Woman. Runaway Bride, the Princess Diaries franchise was his. But most people talking about his incredible eye for talent, this guy who discovered Robin Williams and gave Ron Howard a second shot at a career. Penny Marshall, his own sister, was discovered. Henry Winkler, just a really talented and, by all accounts, really nice guy. And that nice sometimes is a bad word, but his niceness was appreciated by everyone in the industry and also reflected in his work as well. Did great work and also a great comic performer in his own right. So, sad news that he is gone, but he leaves behind a body of work that we'll all enjoy for many, many years to come. Melania Gates still going on. Still Melania Gates.
Is it?
Yes.
What's left to say about it?
Well, you know, she was accused of plagiarism.
But just 7% of her speech was plagiarized.
Liberally from a speech made by First Lady Michelle Obama. And then the Trump campaign said, no, it's common words everybody uses. Just
like
the way it works. Dummies.
And it's Hillary just trying to bring a strong woman down.
Right.
Her fault,
she's
really
threatened. And then they said it didn't happen. But, and besides, Melania wrote it herself. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, she didn't. We meant to say she didn't write herself. We had speech writers. And they said, but those speech writers didn't write that stuff. So now they're offering up a woman named Meredith McIver. Just moments ago, it has been announced that she is responsible for the controversy. She is a friend of the Trump Organization, an in-house staff writer for that group.
I feel like we call that a patsy.
She's the ghostwriter for several of Donald's books, by the way.
Oh.
And apparently they took the speech away from the speechwriters, who had included none of that stuff, according to news sources that have an original copy of the speech she was supposed to give.
Okay.
And then she took it and she...
She punched it up?
She punched it up with the help of her friend. And by punched, I mean took a bunch of stuff and stuck it in there. It has been an endless source of comedy for the late night talk shows, and perhaps none quite as brilliantly as last night's sketch on the Stephen Colbert Late Show on CBS. I don't know if you caught it or not, but he had Laura Benanti, who I just love. She is a big Broadway star, but she was also recently on Nashville and Supergirl. She's Supergirl's mom on the Supergirl series and her
good.
Twin aunt. Very talented actress. She came out on the Late Show, Stephen Colbert Show, last night as Melania Trump. He gave her a chance to explain away the controversy, and she looked spot on and did an amazing impression. Very funny segment. Here's a little piece of it.
I did not plagiarize my speech last night. I would never do such a thing. I would not, could not with a goat. I would not, could not on a boat. That is because I learned honesty during my humble upbringing. In West Philadelphia, no. Born and raised. Thank you. On the playground is where I spend most of my days. So, to those who say I stole my speech, I say, give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's Laura Benanti there. Terrific. Today's celebrity birthday is Carlos Santana, 69 years old today. Chris Cornell, singer, is 52. Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam, the guitar player for that band, 50 years old. Josh Holloway is 47. Sandra Oh is 45. Omar Epps celebrates his 43rd birthday. Gisele Bündchen is 36 years old today. I hope she's busy planning some vacation time in October, late September, early October. They can take a nice trip, the two of them. They can
like a month maybe or something, right?
Go a spa, maybe go antiquing.
Allie has nothing to say.
Allie's not cracking a smile.
She doesn't seem to be enjoying
hilarity.
This. Odd.
Harley Mortenstein is 31 years old from Epic Mealtime. John Francis Daly celebrates his 31st birthday. And one of our favorites around here, Miss Judy Greer.
Yay!
Celebrates her 41st birthday. We love you, Judy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win today. You know what we get? We get a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, Jim Rome talks sports. We also have Dr. Drew and comedian Jeff Ross in studio.
You know, I'm really, really, really tired.
Me too.
Okay. We'll let you get to sleep.